This is Great Muta. And you are listening to the Turnbox Robux with Phil Lea and that pain in the Astropion Light in M Radio.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
With us now, ladies and gentlemen, Superfly Jimmy Snuka, who's just about ready to walk out into the arena. Ready to walk into the arena and hear 20-some-odd thousand people scream at the top of their lungs. Another 5,000 over in the Felt Forum. Millions on television to see Jimmy, the culmination of what has developed, no doubt, to be perhaps the most bitter feud in pro wrestling. You and the magnificent Morocco to be contested in the most grueling type match there is, the steel cage match. Your comments as you contemplate this match tonight.
You know, Vinny, there's one thing I just like to tell the people, and I know they have heard me before over and over again. But Vinny, there's only one reason that why it has come to this kind of conclusion. Don Morocco, you know it, and I know it. The only reason why we're in this situation, brother, in the steel cage, is because you know what you did. Started off from Lou Albano, and it started back from the past, brother. And it comes on, and now it's up to you. I'll never forget, brother. Nobody forgets deep down inside when somebody does something wrong to them. Because nobody likes to do no wrong. Everybody likes to be right. Don Morocco in the steel cage tonight, brother. Just remember, tonight. Yes, I'm sitting right here in the locker room before this cage match, my man. And believe me, anything can happen. And the steel cage can have a broken neck, broken wrist, leg, your ribs, you name it, my man. The steel cage is for one thing, is for true animals that's gonna go in there and prove the point of view, my man. Do you understand that, Don Morocco? This is why this situation has come up to this point. And believe me, to honest God and his truth, my man, I'm gonna give all I got out there. Believe me, brother, because this is gonna be the proven, the testament that's from deep down inside this man's heart. Do you understand that? That's right, Don Morocco, and I ain't taking it upon you, because it's not you, it's you, Don Morocco, you. Do you understand? Yes, my man, you got me so psyched up. Yes, you have brought the animal and the charisma out of me. So help me God, brother. Yeah, brother, you better shake that microphone, because if you don't, there's gonna be something else gonna be shaking in the ring tonight. And believe me, it's the gate of all, brother, hell, of all hell.
Thank you very much. Jimmy Snuka, best of luck. With us, ladies and gentlemen, the reigning Intercontinental Champion, the magnificent Morocco, who has indeed reigned for some time as Intercontinental Champion, and has no doubt raised the ire of many an opponent. And tonight, Mr. Morocco, you walk to the ring to face the hungry cage in a match that corners you and Snuka, as was said before, with no place to run, no place to hide. Inside the steel cage, Mr. Morocco, this I'm sure you will grant, is the most grueling match in professional wrestling today.
So what do you want me to do? You want me to get excited? You want me to cheer? You want me to get everybody all riled up? It's all been done. It's all been said. I've already did it all. I got them here. I got Snuka riled up. I got the people riled up. Everything's coming down. All the preparation's ready. I've been training for months. I'm not a champion, just a day champion. I live as a champion. I eat as a champion. I breathe as a champion. So now we're just talking about preliminaries. We're talking about stretching my legs, stretching my arms, getting a little sweat so I don't pull anything before I first walk into the cage. Because it is a cage, isn't it? and you know what it's like. You don't know what it's like. Nobody knows what it's like. Nobody but me to go out there and stand in front of 22,000 people and feel the hate, feel everything come down right on top of me. I'm supposed to worry about a cage. I'm supposed to worry about my skin getting torn. I'm supposed to get about my face getting torn, about getting hurt. When I got 22,000 people spitting on me, well, this is what I set out for to begin with. To have only the finest come after me. And Superfly is the finest. But just like everybody else, he hasn't been the smartest, has he? And as of yet, because I still have this, he hasn't been the best. Because I am the best. And we got minutes or hours or however long the time goes, however long it is now until we set foot in that cage. Good luck, Snuka. Good luck, brother. You're going to need all you got. You better be warmed up. You better be loose. You better be thinking about it. I've done my thinking. We're on the eve. This is our playground right outside here, right outside these doors. You walk out these doors, and you're in the heart of the Big Apple. The whole world revolves. And right now it's revolving around us, Snuka, in a cage.
Thank you very much for your time. The Magnificent Morocco.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
All right, let's try these out. The Shining Wizards is a funny wrestling podcast. Nah. The Shining Wizards is an insightful wrestling podcast. Too confusing. The Shining Wizards is an entertaining podcast. Something off. I got it. The Shining Wizards is a great wrestling podcast that airs live Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. East on RantDMRadio.com and is available on all podcasting platforms. Yeah, I think that covers it. Visit ShiningWizards.com for more information, and please join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
I don't know.
Dark Satellite Media.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
Recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Ooh, yeah!
Hall of Fame nominee Judas Priest.
Second time.
Is this on?
It's on.
It's on.
It's on.
And we're live. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Episode 328, I think it is. I think it's 320 anyway.
I think it is, too.
Yeah. I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray. I'm joined by...
Jay Cop here.
That's right. And we're live, Jay.
Live.
We're live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network, part of Dark Satellite Media. Judas Priest.
You think they're going to get in this time? They're going to get snubbed again.
I don't know, but if Rob Halford does get in, he should wear those assless chaps. Because I love Rob Halford and his assless chaps.
All the signs were there. We just chose to ignore it. He's the heavy metal god. It doesn't matter.
I was floored, by the way, because... You know, I was a four, but I was like, oh, like I was almost disappointed, even though Rob Halford is the god. He's a god, you know. But
yeah, he gets the pass though. Like,
he does.
You know,
oh no,
like,
I was also 15 years old. So I was kind of narrow-minded.
Well, it was a different time. Then.
It was like, a very different time.
Now it's just like, hey, it is what it is. Yeah. But like at that time, it's just like, yeah. It doesn't matter. It's still Rob Halford.
It's Rob Halford.
You know? He could still crank it out now.
Yeah, and he's actually the grand marshal in the gay parade where he lives in Arizona.
Oh, get out! Yeah,
he wears the sash and everything.
Oh, good.
We need a nickname for Jay Rob. Yeah, let's work on that. Hello, Rob. By the way, doing flips and shit. I see Shaylin.
Well, Lordy freaking God!
I see my cousin Richie.
Anybody see Richie?
Yeah, Double A's not here though. But anyway,
let me show you how you suck it.
Conspicuous by his... I'm sorry, would you...
I was going to go with... I actually had a nickname. We used to give each other wrestling nicknames, and I was Big Coppa Pump.
Big Coppa Pump. Oh, because it's a play on your last name.
Yeah, I never really stuck with it because I wasn't a big fan, but it was... I guess it does work for the show.
I can't fit that on a business card. Yeah. I don't think. Ring that bell. What's up, Frank Mustachio, Mr. Cosmo? What up, brother? Good to have you here tonight.
Yeah, conspicuous.
Conspicuous by his absence... Mr. Margassa is not in the building.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
It's his anniversary tonight. So, you know, anyway, yes, Richie, we know, Rich. We know that you are... hello? Where's my... Oh, see, now my...
I'm over here now.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I like Big Copper Pump. I like it. I dig it. I mean, it's a t-shirt regardless,
it was funny. I forgot, you know, it was, you know, around the time, it must have been junior high school, where, you know, Scott Steiner goes heel, and it just happened, and my buddy just said it one day. He's like, oh, Big Copper Pump. I'm like, oh, shit, that kind of works. But I don't have the body to pull it off.
Well, now you're stuck with it.
Now I'm stuck with it.
It's definitely a t-shirt. And YouTube, I mean, Facebook already muted our video partially because of Judas Priest. So, fuck YouTube. We had a group meeting. I guess in Jay's world we call it a band meeting on a text message this week. And we're definitely going to be doing an upgrade to the equipment soon. So, and I got Rob involved and some other stuff. So we're going to be doing, like, very soon. Like, I think after 7 years, I think I deserve a fucking break in life. And something has to go right for me. And right now, I feel like this is the only thing in my life that I do well enough to do something with. And it's not going to ruin me right now. So I'm going to fucking put all our efforts into the show. The convention is next week. Yeah. I Play America on 27th. I think 26th. I'm sorry.
26th.
At I Play America in Freehold, New Jersey. 80sWrestlingCon.com. Turnbuckle Throwbacks will be there.
Yeah.
In full regalia.
Yeah.
So we hope you guys can come out and join us. If not, we're going to be on the air from like 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Oof.
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep it rolling. I don't know if, I mean, I'll have to edit some of it.
Yeah.
Unless I keep the whole fucking thing, I don't care, you know, but we're going to be live next week in Jersey. So if you're in Jersey or you're in the tri-state area, you should come hang out with us for a little while. Bring me some sugar-free Red Bulls. Bring some. We get some birthday cake for Jay, and it's Jay's birthday, and we'll celebrate. We're celebrating some things because we're doing some changes behind the scenes here, and we're doing some positive stuff, and I'm happy that we're making some moves, and we're expanding a little bit. We got a lot of more eyes and ears on the product, and I've been. I have a lot of downtime lately, so I've been a lot of creative processes. My juices are flowing.
I'm about to say the juices are coming out.
Yeah, I'm like Stella getting her groove back, except I'm not getting laid anymore. So, well, but either way, what day is it? It's Saturday. It's next Saturday, the 26th. It's in Freehold, New Jersey, Shaylin. So if you can make it, if you're not working, come out and hang out with us. Say hello. You know you're always welcome. Anybody's welcome to come see us. You know, we're very accessible. That's another thing I like about doing this show for so long, that we're so accessible. And you'll notice now, you've noticed that you've seen it with our people.
Absolutely, yeah.
We have a core of people that we get along with and love, and we have a couple of guys behind the scenes that help us, of course, Rob and Nick German, and I was talking to those guys tonight, too. So it's like, you know, my dad would always say it takes a village. So it's, you know, we have regular lives. Yeah, I look like I'm 22. I don't feel like I'm 22, though. 22-year-old Phil was a fucking beast, by the way. 22-year-old Phil was in a hardcore band. I was getting laid. I worked two jobs. Oh, my God, I was a fucking stallion. Oh, my God. I would, if I could be 22 again, Jay, for 1 week, I just want the note. I don't want the money. I don't want. You know, I'll go down like a shirt size or two. I just want to be 22 for a week. That's such a great time in my life.
You know, I mean, me being 22, I don't know. I would take 25.
25?
I would take 25 all day. I felt like after that, that's when it just started to happen. It just started going downhill. 22, I don't even think I knew what was going on. I mean, I just got on the job and, you know, like at that point, like I wasn't sure about anything. Now that I've been in the league for like 12 years, 13 years, I'm like, I could take me with three full years on.
Yeah, everybody's got that thing, but yeah, look, you know what? I got to tell you, depression's a terrible thing, and I've talked about this on the air a million times, especially on my philatorials. And I got so twisted last week that I just decided to shave my face. I went upstairs, I grabbed Sweeney's clippers. I'm like, dude, can I borrow your clippers? He's like, now Will shaves his head regularly, just because he's lazy. He's a fat bum. He's lazy. And I love him. He's my best friend for 20 years, so I can tell him that. But my bust is bald, and he's not really lazy. He just likes to shave, keep his head shaved. So I know he has clippers. I'm like, yo, just let me borrow your clippers. He's like, what are you going to do? I'm going to shave my beard. He's like, what? Now, I've had this beard for like 3 years, you know, and green screen. Yeah, you know what, Rich? I'm going to have to... Yeah, we're doing video. We're gonna stream on multiple platforms. We talked about this week. I have a plan now. So now that I have a plan, I just have to jump on it, implement it, and then we'll be all right. You know,
you gotta make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah, look at you.
Yep.
All right. You beat me to it. I beat you to it. But yeah, so I shaved the face, and I got some looks at work. I work with two, one chick I call the angry lesbian, and she's a Puerto Rican chick. She's awesome, right? And she walks in, she goes, hey, what's up, Phil? And she walks like two passes, and she passes me and stops and goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, what? She goes, turn around. She sees my face. She goes, what the fuck, man? I went, what? I shaved my face. And she's like, yeah, you look fucking 12. I'm like, yeah, so?
Yeah.
She goes, I don't like it. I'm like, says the lesbian who doesn't like dudes. I'm like, gee, thanks. You know,
like I said, like her opinion matters to how you look anyway.
Well, I mean, you know.
Although, you know, not for nothing, I think I would take a lesbian's opinion about how a guy looks.
Hello, Allie. Hi, baby. So it was like, so like I just, you know, You know how women get their balls twisted when they get all depressed? They fucking shave. I mean, they not shave. They do their hair. They do change their nails. They get new wardrobe.
New eyelashes.
They go on like crazy diets. I shaved my fucking face. Yeah. You know, and it's I don't know.
It's funny. Like we just played a show last weekend, and my band or whatever. We finally took a picture. We said we have to take a picture because the last picture that we have of the four of us, I've shaved. And I hate the way I look when I shave. Like, I need, you know, my grays are starting to come in a little bit more now, but I feel like I look better with a beard, so I'm like, we have to take a new picture. So
right.
As soon as we got there, we're taking a picture before one of us fucking disappears.
Right.
I think the no beard on you looks good. I think you should pull a little George Michael, a little 5 o'clock shadow, you know, walk around with the aviators, we'll get you a revenge jacket.
Okay.
No, nothing.
No. I don't know. I don't know if I can pull it off. Listen, I feel so down right now. So I just anything. I was pulling out some old clothes. I'm like, oh, I'll wear this. I'll wear that. I'll wear that. You know, I'm like a bitch. I'm like, what do I do? You know. So I shaved my face, and I was looking in the mirror, and I'm like, what the fuck did I just do?
Because there's no coming back from that.
No, I mean, listen, I can grow it back.
It grows back.
It grows back. You know, it doesn't grow back on my head like I wanted to, but you know, it grows back. So I'm in the mirror and I'm like, all right. And then this week again, I shaved my face again fully, and I you know what? I like the way it felt because sometimes you feel dirty. Like I have the oil. Like if you ever come to my house, you come to my apartment, my small little bathroom sink. I'm like a metrosexual. I have the beard oil. I got the fucking the salve. I have the beard wash. You know, so I try to keep my shit tight. You know, because I don't want to be the fat guy who smells and has a messed up beard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I did. I got the beard oil, and then what's the other one? The beard balm. Like if
you're
going out.
That's what I did. That's what I have. Right. Yeah. Shaylin, I did the same thing. I got depressed. I shaved my face, and I went to Walmart. So that's my – I kind of needed to go to Walmart, but I didn't have to go. But I needed to get some stuff anyway. So
yeah.
But I – you know, and I didn't buy stuff. I really didn't – the only thing I bought that I didn't need was like I wanted to freshen up the apartment. So I got some like, shit that you plug into the wall, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it's season change, and this is like my favorite
time. Well, I got to do the damp. What is it? The damp X or whatever the shit is. I get a little damp in the, especially with the season change and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, Shane, when double the maintenance because I don't want to be the fat guy who smells. I already feel ugly to begin with. My self-esteem was always bad, but when you don't feel right, you have to just make a change, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I made a change, and it is what it is.
It grows back.
It grows back, and you know, I don't know.
I'm going for the Zach Wilde.
Oh Jesus! Yeah.
Or at this rate, it might be the Luke Harper at this rate because I can't get it. I can't get it to go straight.
You know, and then like my shit gets all like coarse, like a Brillo pad.
Yeah.
You know. So like I was getting, like I said, I was getting the beard wash, and I was getting like the salve. And sometimes if you don't clean it right away, it gets like, hey, you're dandruff.
Yeah.
And I had dandruff on my uniform. I'm like, this is ridiculous, man. I feel like a fat, disgusting, bearded savage. So I just went and I just did it. And I fucking shaved my face. And I'm like, you know what? Let's call it a day.
Hey, you listen, know? It's a good look.
So, I don't know. The bell rang and I'm not going to answer because I'm just not going to answer it. It's not my house. So, yeah. So Choppy's taking the night off. It's his anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary, you two.
Yeah, happy anniversary. God bless. And, you know, it's great when you could do that. You know, you can celebrate that milestone.
Yeah. Well, they've been together for a long time.
10 years, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's awesome. That's pretty cool. So God bless them. And I think they ordered food or something because I hear that fat bastard coming down the stairs. So they were supposed to be going away. I guess they're going away tomorrow. I'm not sure. Yeah. But either way, they'll be back next week.
Well, like I said, it's better than the original thought. I came in, and all the lights were on. I was like, did they get abducted?
Yeah, so we come in the house, right? And, like, the lights are on, the fucking TV, Elmo's going. And I'm like, yo, are they still here? I'm like, hello? No one answers. I'm like, hello? So Jay's like, this is like a fucking horror movie, dude.
It's like, yeah, what? I've seen too many of those, man.
So I was like, all right. So now I'm setting up for tonight. And I'm like, do me a favor. Text him, make sure he's okay.
Yeah.
So Jason, we want to make sure you weren't abducted.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have to call Liam Neeson or something.
That's what he said in the text message. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, actually. So anyway, So that's where we are. It's yeah, it's been a decent week, I guess, work wise. I was it was kind of busy, so it kept me focused. And like I said, my creative juices were flowing, and I had already had the next couple of episodes for the show planned out. Thank God Jay has been around, so just because I really want to do tonight's episode, and Choppy took the night off last week, and I was like, all right, good. It worked out, because I sent Jay the clip. I'm like, this is not on the network. He's going to have to watch it on YouTube, which is cool because we got a good copy. We got a good copy for you. We got some news to get into. We got a couple news items to get into. A lot of stuff went down this week, and and then we'll talk about NWA, and my plan for that actually was I'm thinking about, and I'll talk about that in a little while, but if my plan comes to fruition, I want to wait till I get better equipment, though. Mm-hmm. Or I might just do it from my apartment. I have no idea. But anyway, what's up, Kim? Where do you want to go first? Do we go, let's go AEW, NXT? You want to
let's go AEW, the quote-unquote and Wednesday Night Wars. Even though it's starting to slowly turn into a squabble.
Yeah, so shout out to Ratings McGee, by the way. But he posted the ratings again. AEW won, but they actually dropped 11%.
Yeah.
So, because, again, no one watches wrestling anymore but the niche audience.
Yeah.
So, you're not getting the fucking fours and the fives, and you're not getting that no more. So don't expect that,
Yeah, I think that's a thing of the past, especially now with streaming and what have you.
Right. So let's get into AEW. What did you like? What didn't you like?
I mean, the opening segment was great. They told the whole story with Daniels getting jumped by the Lucha, which I guess I know they had a match at one of the pre shows they had, Fight for the Fallen, whatever the hell.
Yeah, that was the last free one.
Yeah, they had a match then, but I guess they're trying to tell a better story. But Daniels gets jumped, package power driver on the ramp, and he gets injured or whatever, so Scorpio Sky, fills in for the match, and they had a great match. It was another great opening. What is this, show three? They know how to grab an audience. I don't know if they're keeping them as of yet, per se. We obviously watch, but if you're trying to grab new fans, they're not really introducing. Like, this is the first time the Best Friends have been on this show, so they're not really introducing the newer guys or what have you. So yeah. I mean, that's a critique, but the match was, the match was great. To me,
yeah, I liked it. I like, and we talked about the audience, how they should be grabbing a new audience. Maybe I don't know. 11% is 11%, but again, this is not 1997. You know what I'm saying? It's not even. I can't stress that enough. I can't stress enough how it's not going to make a big deal that AEW beats NXT in the ratings, because again, it's Wednesday night.
Yeah,
and what's going on Wednesday night on television? I don't watch network television, so I don't know.
Yeah, there's really nothing. I mean, besides playoffs or what have you.
Sports. Besides, I'm talking about regular television.
Yeah, but no, I have no idea as well.
Right. I mean, right now, it's probably the most active sports time of the year, because you have baseball playoffs, hockey just started, football is almost half done already, mm-hmm. and now you have basketball starting up this week.
Yeah.
Or next week, I'm sorry. So, this is the only time in the year that every sport, major sport is happening. Correct.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're not really competing with anything. Do you compete with? The Hornets versus the fucking...
the Pelicans or whatever?
The Pelicans, like, on a Wednesday night? Or the San Jose Sharks against the Anaheim Ducks or the Kings? Or the Calgary Flames against the Oilers? You're competing against a West Coast team? The Denver Nuggets? The powerhouse that is Denver? No disrespect to anybody who lives in Colorado, but the Denver Nuggets aren't that good. I mean, they're okay, but...
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on, like, it's not...
But like that, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's just more of for the new fan. Like, you're trying to bring back. I mean, they came out hard. I think they did one and a half million, a little under one and a half.
Yeah, and then
the first day, and then now it's gone not down drastically, but no. Like you said, you know, everybody's watching it on different platforms. They're watching it online. They're watching it, you know, they're streaming it on the Fire Stick or what have you. So it's not just that we don't know how many people. I mean, I guess it's down 11%, but do they count, like, for, you know, online, YouTube, whatever? Like, is that part of the number? Probably not.
I don't know. I think it's just a TV rating.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I watched the replay, well, most of it, because I worked late, so I came home right when the replay started.
Yeah.
So I watched the replay most of it, and I had to wake up at 4 in the morning, so I didn't. And then I watched NXT today. So I liked the Darby Allin match. That was good with Jericho.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That was fun.
You know, when it shows you, I mean, one, that's one crazy bastard, Darby Allin. That's just unbelievable, some of the stuff. But Jericho, man, he did the promo after, Santana and Ortiz had the squash match or whatever. Like, he came out with the promo, and the first thing I say is, Jericho still fucking got it. Like, it's unbelievable. Like we're supposed to hate him. and it's just like, man, he's getting close right now.
Yeah, then he played the whole thing with him and Cody, and,
yeah,
you know, that was cool. Yep. And the pay-per-view was going to be good. You know, and I enjoyed, and look, again, so I was telling Will, because he's a casual fan, he's like, what kind of name is the Best Friends? I'm like, you have no idea. Chucky Taylor and Trent Barretta are fucking awesome. They've been a tag team forever.
Yeah.
And I told him the story of Barretta, and he was in New Japan, Ring of Honor, whatever. Chuck Taylor was one of the guys that, you know, one of those guys that should have been on, that should have been in NXT. He should have been on fucking SmackDown years ago.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. They have a niche audience. Their crowds are hot right now, mm-hmm. and the talent is really good. So you really can't.
Well, I mean, and then now, like we were talking about the other matches, like the other quote unquote controversy is the Marco stunt. Like, everybody's up in arms about Marco's stunt. Is he too short to be a professional?
Oh, here we go.
I personally disagree with that. I think he did a great fucking job. Like, he's a great, you know, he's entertaining as hell. I mean, man, does he take some massive bumps in there. Like he's using his size for the right thing. I mean, I think it was kind of, you expected, the Lucha Bros to win, obviously. But I tell you, it was a goddamn entertaining match.
Well, that's what I like about AEW, that, you know certain teams are going to win. The book, they're big. The booking isn't, you know, it's not, it, they're not going to keep you guessing. But you're right. You expected the Lucha Brothers to win, but they got a really good match from these guys you've really never heard of unless you follow the indies and, you know, stuff
exactly,
like that.
Exactly,
right, yeah. So it's not that bad.
But, yeah, like I said, I mean, now everybody's, like, up in arms about it, and, you know, Cornette's talking about it. It's just, you know.
Yeah, it's a good segue because I finally downloaded. I don't listen to a lot of wrestling podcasts. Mm-hmm. I don't. And it's not because I don't want to. It's because I'm too wrapped up in other podcasts. I have, like, three baseball podcasts I listen to. I listen to Jericho, and he doesn't do wrestling all the time. I listen to Jamie Josta. I listen to the old school wrestling podcast with Black Cat and Dre. Those guys, they've been around forever.
Yeah.
And I listen to just nonsense. I mean, like Joe Rogan once in a while.
I love Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I do. Whatever. And then I listen to us every Monday.
Yeah.
On the way to work, just to see how we did, and, you know, I like to listen back to our shows and how we did and shit. So I downloaded Cornette because apparently he's got two shows.
Yeah.
He's got the Cornette Experience, and he's got the Drive-Thru.
The Drive-Thru is great. I love it.
So he basically critiques the shows now.
Yeah.
Like we're doing now. You know? I love Cornette. And I hate Cornette at the same time.
I okay? agree.
Because I grew up with studio wrestling. We'll talk about that in a minute because we were so high on the NWA right now. And I'm so into my era, and Cornette was a huge part of my era, you know?
Yeah.
I think some of the stuff that he talks about, he critiques, I mean, he's kind of out of touch. Because what kills me is, like, he knows the industry and he knows the change it made.
Yeah.
And he knows the storytelling. He knows how the booking goes now. He knows that it's, you know, I'm in agreement with the fucking false finishes. It's ridiculous. Oh,
it's a little over the top, 100%.
Right. But I'm also not going to kill it, because if it's going to tell me a good story in the end, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
You give me two spot monkeys or four spot monkeys in the ring, and they're not, and just doing it for the hell of it, then you're like, okay, then it's not, then it's non-sequential, and you, yeah, and you move on, whatever. But I feel like he's just out of touch with certain things, you know? I agree with him politically, which is okay. I don't care what anybody thinks, but that's just how I feel.
Yeah.
And I agree with him with the booking in WWE and NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with him about the non-storytelling in a lot of the other feds.
Yeah, I think some of it. I don't doubt that he doesn't feel as strongly as he does. I just think he embellishes it a little bit to be, I don't want to say working, but or playing a character, but he's kind of playing the character. So I think. To an extent, he's doing it to not stay relevant. I don't know if that's the right word to say, but he's doing it to, you know, just be still be in the news or whatever. And like, and he's still clearly, he's on top of everything that's going on. I don't know if he's doing it just for this show, or if he's doing it to be a fan, or if he's doing it just to fucking get back and cut a promo on it, one or the other. But, you know, I agree with a lot of the stuff he says. Like I said, especially with the drive-thru, he has such knowledge about... you know, old school Memphis wrestling. Like, it really is. Like, I mean, I don't really listen to the Experience that much. I like his deep dives. He did one with the Montreal Screwjob, and, you know, when how OVW got started. Like, I listened to that stuff, and that was great. But, you know, some of the stuff I just go, it's Cornette being Cornette. You know, I think he does it sometimes to, you know, play the character. You know. Once again, I'm a guy that I love a good conspiracy, so.
Okay. No, that's fair. Shaylin, yeah, I listen to Don Tony and Kevin Castle on Mondays after listening to us. And Wrestling Soup I normally catch live, so I really don't count that as a podcast, because Soup is on the way home from work on Thursdays. So, but yeah, thank you for reminding me, too. I have that on my phone as well. So, you know, but either way, yeah. So, I downloaded Cornette because I was kind of curious, and, you know, He sometimes he pretends like he's not with it. Like, I go on to Twitter, my wife does a Twitter, and like...
But he is.
Let's stop faking the funk.
Yeah.
That part bothers me. Just be fucking... Listen, in this day and age, there's no more kayfabe.
Yeah.
There's no more kayfabe, so just, you know, whatever you gotta do, do it, and be good with it. And don't... What's the word I want to use? I don't know. Don't take the fans as stupid. You know.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
I think that's what like a lot of people do is you know, and in that position, I'm you know, I don't want to mention names, or whatever, but like a lot of people just want to assume that you know, the fans aren't as smart as we are, or as they are, I should say.
Listen. Yeah. Yeah. I don't. First of all, you're only as smart as what you know or what you think you know.
Yeah,
this is all opinion based. The only thing that's factual is the throwback itself that we do.
Yeah,
everything else is opinion based.
So everything, yeah,
right. There's no right and wrong. We can agree, we'll disagree. We're marks just like everybody else.
Yes,
so it's
100%
not. No
right.
One's better than nobody else, and that's the thing too. It's like, I don't want to be first. I want to be right, and I'll take Don Tony's words to the grave. I don't want to be first. I want to be right. So if I am gonna say something or post something that's factual,
mm-hmm,
I want to be right about it, you know? And most of the time, I am.
And like I said, I don't deny that Cornette thinks he's right. I think he sometimes just embellishes it because it's goddamn entertaining. Like, he goes off on a tangent,
that,
it is fucking,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, that, and he sells shit.
Yeah.
Dude, he sold me, I'm not going to buy it yet, but that manscaping shit.
Yeah,
I'm gonna buy that thing.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He sold it to me the other day.
Yeah.
Listen to it. What's up, my little brother Mike's in the room, anime.
Hey
Mike.
Now,
hey now. So yeah, so I listen to Cornette, and I see the appeal.
I mean, like I said,
I see the appeal.
I've been listening to the old drive-thrus. I'm kind of like working my way up to the new stuff because he really has such a. And I forget the guy that does it with him, Brian Last, I think his name is.
Yeah, the guy that does the network, though, yeah.
And like the questions that they fish through or what have you. Like it's they find really good questions and they have yet. I mean, if it's as straight up as they say it is, like, oh, we haven't gone through these questions already. Man, Cornette knows. He's a fucking historian. He knows everything about it.
Yeah, Cornette's house is like a wrestling museum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you can't get him there, and he's a brilliant mind. He was a promoter. He was an owner. Mm-hmm. He was a worker. He's done everything in the business. Everything in the wrestling business he's done.
And that's why his words are valid, and hold a lot of weight. And like I said, and that's why there's that part of me that's going. He's just working. Like he's being a heel,
right?
It's
entertainment.
It's entertainment.
I agree. I agree with you. I agree with you there. NXT was good. I watched it today. I liked the whole Adam Cole thing. They're laying out the Dream. That was fun.
Yeah.
Now Roddy's got a defended belt against Keith Lee and Matt and Donovan Dijak. Yeah. I like the women's stuff that's going on right now with Rhea Ripley and Shirai and Baszler, and I like all that. I like Ciampa coming back. That's fun.
Huge.
Very huge. Keith Lee and Dijakovic killed it again.
That match I caught.
Yeah, thank God it wasn't like the house show that we saw a couple months ago because they fucking stunk it up in there.
Really?
Yeah, it was terrible. It was Rob and I, Elaine and Allie were at Asbury Park, and it was like the worst fucking match ever I've seen. In a long time.
And I'm about to say, they've been killing it.
Yeah.
They've been killing it the last three matches.
Yeah, Fabian Eichner had a match. It was good. I liked that. Ciampa fought the Mexican kid because he smacked him in the face last
Garza.
Week. Yeah. So, I mean, it was good. NXT is fine. It's fine.
I think, it's funny, like you said, five weeks, 6 weeks in, whatever it is, like, we was talking about them going to 2 hours. It's not dragging. It's still kind of flying by, but like, once again, same thing. Like they haven't really done much introducing. Like they, who's the guy, Trevor Lee, whatever his name is now on Cameron Grimes. Yeah, like they've been pushing him. Yeah, like this guy's coming out, and it's just like, well, who the fuck is he? He's like, is there a vignette you could show us? Like, let us know where he's from. But
no, Punishment Archer fought the British the Bruiserweight, Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
Which was actually a good match, but not because it was Punishment Martinez. Punishment Archer, I'm sorry, it's his new name. But yeah. So
like I said, I think NXT is going to be fine. I think
if they don't go big.
Yeah,
There's no need
to tour around. Because you're only just going to go yourself in the hole a little bit.
I stand corrected. Yes, he did fight. He fought Punishment Archer at Asbury.
At Asbury. I thought you were talking about it on the show.
No. Yeah, but he stunk it up.
Oh.
That's what I was comparing Keith Lee's live shit to record. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My head is everywhere. I apologize. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jay. Finish your point.
But, I think as long as NXT, they're going to be able to, steer into the skid. Like, the ratings have gone down a little bit, but they're still going to have the core audience, no matter what they do. And, as like I said, as long as they don't, tour around, even if they do, southeast or whatever, if they come up to the northeast or something, that they don't really need to go around and tour around. Stay in Full Sail, get the product better. I mean, right now, it's probably better than it's been,
What's up, JT?
They got a lot of good stuff going on,
Yeah. I agree. But they're gonna probably lose the ratings for a while.
Yeah.
If anybody expects them to beat AEW, because NXT is already established, so you already know what you're getting.
Yeah.
AEW is still new. It's still exciting. It's got. They're doing different shit. What I'm saying? Like, it's different. It's a different vibe.
Like I said, I mean, I DVR it. I DVR both of them the same night, and I try to watch one of them live, and if I, I'll bounce back and forth. But when you DVR, you can only watch one of the two things. So I go back and forth, but I usually watch the shit the next day. It's just like a fast forward,
Yeah, of course.
I mean, sometimes I'm either up late like tonight, or there's other times I'm sleeping by 7:30. Side in life, I tell you.
I tell you, man. I work. I've been doing a couple of early shifts during the week now, so I work till 5 o'clock. I come home by 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
If I sit down, if I lay down, but I'm asleep and I don't. Yeah. And you know, I'll cook dinner, I'll whatever I got to do. But like, I like being home early to watch TV. But I fucking fall asleep, and it's like, and this is what happens with old people. They get old and fucking.
And like I said, every now and then you kind of need that. You know, you recharge the batteries type thing. But, you know, and then there's other times you're just like, oh, now I got to stop moving.
Exactly.
I got to do something I don't want to
do. Yeah, exactly.
But other than that, NXT was good. I mean, if we had to go head-to-head and I had to choose one or the other, I'm going to go with AEW again because it's new.
Yeah.
I'm not disappointed in NXT. It's just AEW is just new. There's new stuff to get in. I mean, there's stuff they're doing with Moxley, Pac, and, or Peck, whatever the hell his fucking name is.
Peckerwood.
And Omega. You know, and that was another thing that from this past week that was good. I loved it. Like, it's just they're starting to tell that
story. You mean the dark match with Joey Janela?
I didn't see that yet. Oh, I did not see that.
Boy.
I have not watched any of the docs yet.
That was the only one I watched.
Yeah.
It was matter of fact, when I was texting you guys about the shows and stuff this week and all the equipment, I was talking to Rob, too, on the Messenger gimmick, and I had YouTube going in the background at work because I was by myself. And when I'm by myself, I could sneak shit.
Yeah.
So I put it on the gimmick, and I was like, "Yo, Joey Janela killed it, man!"
I'm definitely gonna have to watch it.
He definitely killed it. What up, Big Tone? Pacquiao, yeah, Pacquiao. It's Pacquiao. That's right. Thank you, Shaylin. It's must-see TV. You know, it's Wednesday nights, and it's fun and exciting. But I'm more excited about Tuesday nights at 6:05.
Yeah.
And I watched episode 2 of NWA Power as well as Jay did. We got a text from Choppy, actually. He watched it.
Yeah.
Everybody's been watching it.
It's
fucking fun.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Listen, you can't expect anything dramatic because it's so regional-ish looking.
Yeah.
It's got the studio feel. It's got, you know, it's got everything. You know what I'm saying? What's up, Shining Wizards Tony? What's up, Miss L? Miss L Boogie. But it's got that feel. And Jim Cornette and the Kid Galley's good. You know, I like Marquez doing the studio thing.
Yeah.
I like the segment with Aldis and his girl.
Yeah, they were telling the story the whole show.
Yeah, man.
And then at the end, and like you said, it was Lagana and you know, Corgan have really, you know, led on to something. Now, I don't know too much about the inside. Like, do they have a booker? Like, do the wrestlers have a lot to say?
I think Lagana's booking. I don't know anything else.
Yeah.
I know Corgan owns it. Lagana books it.
Yeah.
And I guess Cornette has a say in something because he's doing commentary. I don't know.
If you have Cornette at your disposal, how do you not use him?
But Colt Cabana's teaming up with Anderson.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But you can see that they already planted the seeds.
Yeah.
They planted the seeds, and Anderson's going to have to go heel, which is great.
Yeah.
And how about opening match, Trevor Murdoch coming out looking the exact same he looked since 15 years ago, however long it's
been.
Any
job to the kid that they've been hyping him for a gazillion years.
Yeah,
Ricky Starr.
We're definitely butchering that name. But,
doesn't matter.
But Murdoch looked great in it, and like I said, they're doing that. You know, he's the veteran and
putting the guys over.
Yeah.
You know, I like Homicide and I like
Eddie Kingston.
That's my team right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I like Bram and Roy too.
Yeah.
You know, the wild ones. You know, and I like the fact that James Storm. I don't like James Storm, but I like that he's got a lot of shit going on. A couple guys are going to be stepping up to fight him.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they kept that national heavyweight title the same. That's pretty fun.
And like I said, I mean, he did the right thing where he didn't bury the belt, but he's like, this is a stepping stone. And everybody knows that.
And that's what Eli Drake said.
Yeah.
Coming out, you know? So they got a pay-per-view coming up. Jay and I were talking about it in pre-production. It's in December, and they already sold out the venue.
So I did it. It obviously, it's going to be. It's in Georgia somewhere. I don't even know where it's at.
Yeah, it's sold out.
Wow,
it's sold out.
Now that's two shows in. Remember, that's two shows in, and they already just sold out. Whatever the place.
Well, they're
is.
Pre-recorded for a couple of weeks, but yeah. But they're already sold out.
But like I said, they were able to sell it out already. That is just complete utter internet buzz because it did take it by storm. I don't think they cracked a million views, but they definitely made a huge dent.
It was almost a million views before Tuesday's show.
Oh, for the first week,
it was up to like 700,000 or something like that. I know Mr. X kept sending me numbers. He kept texting me fucking numbers on it. I don't remember the final tally, but if anybody can go on their YouTube page and see what the first show did,
yeah.
But I got so inspired that I'm actually considering doing a podcast just about the show itself. Yeah. That might be like an hour or 40-minute one. I'm thinking about doing it. And I already got notes written for the first two episodes. So I might do it for, I don't know, I might do it as like bonus shows. I might do it as a weekly thing. I'm not sure. But I got so inspired. I even got inspired for us. I was like, this made me feel, and I'm so down lately, this made me feel so good, man. It felt like it was 1985 all over again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was tape trading because I didn't have cable. And I'm like, man, this is so good.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good. They had jobbers, and they had guys who really don't kill it with promos. We're killing it with promos.
Yeah.
So good, Jay. Yeah. It was so good.
And even the women's match, Sienna against...
Yeah.
I forget the name,
women's champion, yeah. But I don't... See, all right. That's the only part I didn't like, actually. She's got a nice shit locker on her, though, the women's champion. She does. She doesn't have a Mandy Leone shit locker, but she's got a shit... And she doesn't have an Io Shirai shit locker, but she's got a nice little shit locker on her. Nice little fucking... What is Espo say? The turd cutter? I don't forget what Espo said last week. Chris, I hope you're listening, because we want to read your tweets.
Yeah, you know, I think it was turd cutter.
Yeah. Chris watches SmackDown. He texts us now, as I told him. He has to do it every week. So he's got 20 minutes to call. If not, he's probably watching the Yankees.
Yeah.
They were winning when I left.
Hey now.
So, anyway. So, I don't know, man. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. And I know some people were already shitting on it. I'm like, guys, I ignore everything.
Yeah, even...
I ignored everything. Yeah. I can't. I'm so invested right now. And I'm sure it'll have its fucking down points. I'm sure it's going to be sucky once in a while. But you know what? It's so good. It's so done. It's done the way it should be done, you know?
Well, like I said, between AEW, NXT, and NWA, to me, they're firing on all cylinders. So, like, you know, not that there's really any excuse for Raw to be bad, but, like, Raw the last month, 2 months, has just been just, it's almost like a chore to get through, you know?
I didn't watch Raw, so I only watched, I came home late that night, and I watched the whole Bray Wyatt. That's all I watched.
I didn't hate that. I thought it was good, you know. But they gotta just, I don't know, the whole draft thing. It's just, I'm glad the draft is over.
Yeah,
get everybody where they need to be, and let's get this shit going. You know,
Eric Bischoff stepping down.
Yeah, I was really really surprised about it.
He can't hang with the new product.
You know, I wonder. I mean, there's always conflicting reports about what happened. You know, he was disappearing and was having trouble learning talent's names. Like, you know, they were kind of going into that. I don't know what's hearsay and what's not, you know. But for the most part, like, I don't know. I thought he was there, you know, obviously to oversee creative and answer to Vince. But Bischoff was never really a creative guy. Like, I thought he was going to be there as a liaison to the network.
To the network. Well, I mean, he was creative to an extent with WCW because he was already involved backstage stuff with AWA when he was an announcer, and he started doing, like, he got almost forced into it on accident if you read his book. And then when he came over to WCW, he just plugged ideas to the network people at Turner, and that's how he got Nitro.
Yeah.
You know? So it just goes to show that, you know, that his, I don't want to say his expertise, but I want to say, like, his creative juices are limited. What's up, Pastor Sadell? What's up, my dude?
Jesus!
You know, so it just goes to show that his creative juices were a little limited. And if what you're saying is true, that he forgot talent, he's disappearing. If that's all true, then that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
If he stepped down because it was too overwhelming for him, because it might be. Listen, you're dealing with Fox. Yeah. It's not. It's not fucking Access TV. It's not. You know. It's not Sinclair Broadcasting. You know. It's not a small time market. It's Fox.
It's Fox. But I wonder.
It's
like,
a major network.
I wonder if as well, like, if it was, you know, the ratings aren't doing as well as they had hoped, type thing. So they go, you know what? We're firing this guy. You know. And then like, and then it's WWE showing Fox like, hey, we're serious about this.
But we like I said this a couple of weeks ago to you guys. What did you guys expect? No one watches wrestling no more except for niche audiences.
Yeah.
You're not going to get those 4 or 5 ratings anymore. 6, 7. You're not going to get those anymore, man.
Well, you're not going
to. You don't even get those for the fucking. The only time you'll get that is the fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You don't get it for the World Series. You don't get it for the NBA Finals. You don't get it for the Stanley Cup. You don't get it for anything anymore. Unless it's like an American Idol or some kind of premiere show or shit. You don't get any of that stuff anymore. You're not getting a big rating for professional wrestling. So get over yourselves, man.
Yeah.
It's all clickbait shit, man. It's all clickbait shit. Like, oh, well, they did what we did this week. Who gives a shit, man? Who cares?
Like I said, I mean, I you know, I have grown to like all the stuff that, like, you know, Bischoff has done on the network, the Table for Threes and all this stuff. I've actually grown to like him. Like, I used to think that he was a big dick, and then, like, hearing stuff with him, I listen to his podcast every now and then.
Yeah, I listen to it too.
You know, and like, he was like, I'm like, you know what, maybe he's not full of shit. Like, so, you know, and it's just like, maybe he just got a raw deal. Or like you said, what probably happened is it's overwhelming.
Somebody else's perspective is always different. Like, so, you know, you don't know until you hear from the horse's mouth. And a lot of guys like to, like, it's funny when you hear Eric Bischoff talk, and he'll, like, I know when Bruce Pritchard called him out on certain things, you stole that guy. I didn't steal him. Well, you said such and such. I didn't say that. Or maybe I did.
Yeah.
Dude, whatever, dude, you said
just
it.
Just own up to it, yeah.
Own up to it. But this is that's the wrestling business. That's how it goes. It's either it's mythical, or, you know what I'm saying, or it's an urban legend. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not few and far between. So I don't know what they were expecting, you know.
Well now let's just see what happens. Like assuming that it's, you know, because of Bischoff's merits, so then the firing was deserved. If it was because of ratings, now what? Now that Pritchard is there, like,
but
now,
they brought Pritchard back in the wintertime.
Yeah,
last year. Oh, the earlier in the year. So they brought him back, and then they brought Heyman in, and they brought Bischoff in. You see a trend? Like, you see the smart guys, the quote-unquote smart guys that they're bringing in just to make sure things are going okay? Because you know what? Maybe these writers aren't doing obviously, we know the writers ain't doing the thing.
Well, here's a crazy thought, and I know you'll agree with this. Get rid of the fucking writers. Just let these guys book it.
You know,
let wrestlers have a little input and have a guy oversee.
I agree with that to an extent, and I'll tell you why. There are certain people, there are certain talent that was not brought up in the indies.
Yes,
they weren't brought up in the territories. They weren't brought up that way. They were cookie cut from the performance center.
Yeah.
So I don't want Sasha Banks writing my shit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want Bayley writing my shit. I don't want. Who else would it homegrown? I don't want Roman Reigns writing my shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't want none of that.
But that's why you have the guys like Shane Helms in the back, and the guys like Sanjay Dutt.
Let talent do it.
Yeah.
Let old talent do it. I get it. But you have you have people in place. So even if they kept the writers, you got a Paulie over your shoulder. You got a Bruce Pritchard over your shoulder.
Who could both cut promos.
And they're both smart people, and they both ran companies before.
Yeah.
So it's not a thing where it's few and far between. They're smart, and people go, WWE's not smart. No, trust me, dude. They're a billion-dollar corporation.
There's a reason why.
There's a reason why.
Yeah.
Correct. And it's not just because Vince cornered the market. It's because they have smart people behind the scenes, and they revolutionized how we even look at shit now.
Yeah.
So let's not get that twisted, okay?
Yeah.
Even though we don't agree with it, even though we hate half of the stuff that's going on, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But now you have alternatives, so.
Yep.
So, let's see, what other news? Oh, the chick from Ring of Honor, the monster chick, she signed with WWE. Maria.
Whatever. Oh, she signed with them? She, I know she had a tryout.
Yeah, she signed
Maria Mannix. I think she's from New Jersey.
Yeah, she's a beast. She showed up on the pay-per-view at Glory by Honor last week.
Whoa.
Speaking of Glory by Honor, they had a number one contender final, and PCO beat Marty Scurll.
Hey now.
He's getting a title shot at Final Battle in Baltimore.
PCO, what is he, 52?
53 years 53? Old. Man, let me tell you, it was so good. So I'm enjoying what they're doing over there. They're doing, you know, the Briscoes fought Luke Hawks and his son. That was fun.
Cool.
I enjoyed that. I like what they're doing with Shane Taylor with the TV title. They're doing like a Shane Taylor like corporation type thing, mm-hmm. and bringing some guys and they're going to pump him. They got stuff in place. It's fun. It's not as good as it was when everybody else was there, but they're
maintaining.
Still, yeah, they're maintaining. I like Rush. He had a really good title. He fought Silas Young.
Yes,
I that was a good match. You know, people don't like him as champion because he's a foreigner.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to be choppy, but he's a foreigner. he's a foreigner who he's not a champion. He's not an American champion. Like if he was in Mexico, he'd be a god. Or Japan, he'd be a god. But here, you have to have a little more.
You gotta have flamboyance.
And his English isn't that great.
Yeah,
he needs a mouthpiece.
Yeah,
he's super uber talented.
Yeah,
he's a fucking beast in the ring. I love him. But he's not that. He doesn't have that pizzazz. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of seeing. I want to see how long they keep the belt on him. You know, until they bring up a Jay Lethal again, or they bring Matt Taven back, or they.
Yeah.
Or hope, God willingly, Marty Scurll gets the title, because I think him not leaving is the reason why. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, his contract is due in what, 2020? I think.
I thought he resigned. You know, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I thought his contract was up in 2020, and it would be weird if he didn't go to AEW. But like I said, maybe him going to AEW, he knows he's not going to be the guy. He stays in ROH, he'll be the guy, like that type of thing. Where that's a huge plus for these guys.
Yeah, it's character development. I think for me personally, is just as important as your, I guess, your salary, or as, you know, it's not like a regular job where you're like, fucking bugs. Or it's like, you know, you go where the money is, it's fine. And that's what we do with jobs, like in our regular lives. Like, you know, I went from one ambulance company to a major hospital.
Yeah.
You went from your job to a civil servant job. Like, just more money, progression of life. These guys sometimes will take the steady money and not a pay bump, just to get that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, look at Mike Kanellis. He requested a release.
Yeah.
He probably got this nice, you know, contract, and then realized 6 to 8 months later, he goes, this isn't what I wanted. Like, I want to go out here and work. Like, I'm a wrestler. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff to say about that. The guy's got a lot of pride, and I hope they give him his release. You know, like, give him a fucking 90-day non-compete or whatever.
Let him show up on Ring of Honor TV.
You know where he's going to go.
Or AEW. Yeah. But I would love for him to go back to his home.
Yeah, let him go back to ROH. Let him show up and
be like, all right, listen, Rush.
Yeah.
I want that title. Or, you know what? Matt Taven, I want Shane. He's a beast. I've loved him. I've said this to Choppy a million times, too, where his last feud in Ring of Honor, what I think was with Kevin Steen.
Mm-hmm.
And they just destroyed each other. It was so good, dude. It told an amazing story. My son and I watched their last match on Christmas Day that year when he left, Final Battle. They had like a ladder match or whatever it was, and he did the package pile. He got package pile drove on the ladder.
Yeah.
And me and my son, like, this is Christmas Day, and we're watching fucking Ring of Honor, you know? And I'll never forget that. And I said to my son, I'm like, he's going to be a star.
Yeah,
you know, and I was hoping that he would do stuff with him, and he didn't. And Marie's already been there, so I thought Marie was like a bonus.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll help him get over at least, and because he really is like uber talented, like, and it's so the talent pool is so diluted right now in WWE that it's hard to stand out, like, you know, because they have to put the crap on the Bobby Lashley, and like, I want Bobby Lashley and Rusev to feud. I want to see this match. I don't care about Lana, you know, that type of thing. Like, you know, but listen, you get there's an audience for everything, so I understand that they have to try to reach out to something. So I understand it, but it doesn't mean I want to see it.
I don't care. I don't want to see it. I'm not a fan. I like Rusev, but I don't like him enough to. I don't like him enough to care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in the same breath, if it tells a good story, and it does.
Yeah.
She's messing around on him, and that's just that's a classic wrestling story, by the way. It's either the cheating or the David and Goliath thing.
It would be a classic wrestling story if Lana and Rusev break up now.
Well, it would be a classic
in real life.
It would be a classic wrestling story if Bobby Lashley can actually wrestle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That would be wow, that'd be great if both guys can wrestle and Rusev don't have to carry this schmuck in the ring. You know, I cannot stand Bobby Lashley. No, just, I'm sorry, I know maybe I'm rocking some boats here, but I'm not a fan. I know Vince likes him.
Yeah.
Vince put the rocket ship on him a couple of years ago. I'm not a fan. You know, he's probably a nice person in real life.
Yeah.
I just don't like him.
I liked him. I liked the stuff with him and Leo Rush. I mean, minus, you know, fucking moon in the crowd every week. But he is uber talented. He's super talented in the ring. Yeah. I mean, like you said, I mean, he's doing more shit than Brock Lesnar's doing inside the ring, at least, you know. But we got to see what's going to happen. I want to see the match, but I can deal with the other fucking Gaga shit.
Yeah. Any other news before we preview Impact Bound for Glory?
No, that's it.
I think I'm going to order the pay-per-view because, again, I have no life. And I'll probably be home that night doing absolutely nothing, which I've been doing. And I've been watching some Impact on Access TV.
Yeah.
And I think I'm excited because it's just more wrestling and I have no life. So
yeah.
I'll run down the card. Bound for Glory is their WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been watching it, and they got some good talent over there, dude. They really do.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be live from the Expo Center in Chicago. And I'll run down the card real quick. And I know you don't watch, so you don't have to give any predictions. We don't have to give any predictions. I want to, you know. The Rascals are going to fight Dr. Wagner, Aerostar, and Taurus. It's obviously a lucha match.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Elgin versus Mara Fuji. That's the match I'm looking forward to the most because both guys are beasts. I'm Michael Elgin Mark from Wave, and I love Mara Fuji. I think he wrestled in Noah.
I think he was a Noah guy.
Ken Shamrock fighting Moose.
I like I said, I seen the YouTube clip of Shamrock coming back, and man, does he look the exact fucking same.
Yeah. Call Your Shot gauntlet match to be announced. Winner chooses any championship match they want. The Impact World Tag Team Championship, the North, defending the titles against Rich Swann, Willie Mack, Rhino, and Rob Van Dam.
The North is, it's Ethan Page and...
Yeah, I forgot.
Alexander.
Yeah. I forgot. Impact, the X Division title, ladder match, Jake Christ, part of the Ohio crew, versus Tessa Blanchard, versus Daga, versus Ace Austin, versus To Be Announced. Impact Women's Knockouts Championship, Taya Valkyrie, which is, I think, was that Johnny Nitro's wife?
Yeah.
Right? Versus Tennille Dashwood, that's Emma.
That's Emma, yeah.
Right? And, of course, Brian Cage defending the Impact World Championship against Sami Callihan.
Yeah. Sami Callihan, you talk about somebody that left the E and now is literally blown up.
Yeah.
Killing it. He was killing it on MLW. He's just going bananas now here in Impact. The stuff that they just did with him pile driving Melissa Santos was, you know, like I said, that is good storytelling. Like that type of thing. Like they handcuffed Brian Cage to the ropes and this and that.
Yes, X. I did mention. Mr. X just texted me that the NWA pay per view sold out in less than 3 hours.
Hey now.
So I knew it was sold out. I know it was under 3 hours. Hey, look who's in the room. It's the proprietor of Rant EM Radio. What's up, there, Double A?
Hey now.
Let me show you how you suck it.
So Tessa can get it. Yeah, she's cute. She's no Mandy Leon, Rob, but she's cute.
She's no Tennille Dashwood.
She's not Tino Dashwood either. Remember that song she had, Emma?
Yeah. That was a great... And listen, that was a great gimmick. And then Evil Emma was even better.
Remember when she got caught for shoplifting? Was that her? She stole something like when she was in NXT? Didn't she like rob... She's like Robert Rose.
Yeah, did she? Oh, yes. I don't recall that.
Yeah. All right, before we go to break, I just want to mention that if you guys listen to the beginning... I started the show about 10 minutes early. Today's the anniversary of the very famous, infamous... Jimmy Snuka, Don Morocco, IC title cage match from Madison Square Garden from 1983 that Mick Foley and Tommy Dreamer were at and a bunch of other guys were at, apparently. The match is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The outcome was even better because Snuka loses on a fluke, he monkey flips Morocco outside the cage. And back then, when you got either he climbed over the cage or he went out the door. There's no referees back then, you know. Cage match was a cage match.
Yeah.
Both guys were juiced, and Snuka said, you know what? Came back in the ring and did the I love you. And the best, though, was when after he did the move from the top of the cage, he walks over to a bloody Morocco, spits on him, takes the IC belt and throws it on top of him. Like, today I applauded.
Yeah, it's...
because listen, a 7-year-old Phil, an 8-year-old Phil, sees this and you're like, whoa. Like, just the fact that... But back then, you only saw blood on, like, horror movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And even those were, like, the slasher movies, like Halloween and, you know, fucking... You know, like the Psycho and all like cult classics, whatever, yeah. Right? Once in a while, you'd see blood on a cop show, but it was few and far between. It got a little worse when you got older, but when I saw that as a kid, like, my mind was blown, dude. I just started watching wrestling. I was like, holy shit, this is amazing.
I was, I was born 2 years after that, but I remember going back in time. I think I was around the same age. I want to say I remember renting videos from D&L Video in Tonville, and they had all the old Coliseum videos.
The rack. Yeah. Every mom and pop video store had the rack.
It was almost in the back of the store.
Where the porn was.
Yeah.
Correct.
You almost had it was like right before the porn.
The porn was roped off or had a door or whatever. Right.
And I remember... I might have been a little bit older, maybe like 10 or 11. But it was just around when Mick Foley got hot. So, yeah, it must have been about 96, 96,
right.
97.
Right.
And like that, and I was like, wait, what's this match? And, you know, so then I had to, like, scour, you know, try to find it somewhere. And then I was able to find it. I ended up getting it on some VHS. And just remember, like, just, like, looking at it and how loud it must have been, like... Even through the speakers of a VHS tape, like, it was loud there. I could only imagine being there in person how loud it was.
Amazing.
And how over was fucking Snuka.
And we've talked about this on the show 4 million times, and we even covered it as an episode. Okay, brother, I did it.
Yeah.
It was called the episode. And if Jimmy Snuka didn't kill his girlfriend, he was the next Hulk Hogan.
I couldn't, and I didn't realize, you know, like how over he was, but like how long he's been in the business as well. Like, he was doing shit in Japan.
Dude, I watched a match today from 82, I want to say 82, 81. It was him and Piper, when Piper was U.S. champion in the NWA, fighting Ric Flair and Dewey Robertson.
Hmm. And like you said, and so now...
No, better than you known as the Missing Link.
Oh, he's the Missing Link?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But
no,
this one, Dewey Robertson, was wearing a Canadian fucking garb and whatever.
Right. But yeah, even like I said, he was even in NWA. Like, you would never even think of that.
And he was a heel before this.
Yeah.
He was with Buddy Raw Arnold, and he was at Albano as a heel. All right, so before we go to break, I just want to, again, plug next week. We'll be at the 80s WrestleCon at I Play America in Freehold, New Jersey from 10 to 3. Yeah, ring the bell if you want. Go ahead. and November 21st, the Shining Wizards celebrate their 8-year anniversary in Hackensack, New Jersey. I forgot the name of the venue. Tony, if you're still in the room, please plug it. Dave LaGreca from Busted Open will be there. Impact's Falaba will be there. And hopefully... God willingly, hopefully we'll be there. I want to show up and represent and show the boys some love. They're my boys. I love them. And their last episode was hysterical, by the way. Check it out. On RandyMRadio.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and all the other platform gimmicks. But that stuff gets all plugged on our shameless plug list that's coming up right now. Any other news before we go to break?
No, I got nothing.
All right. We got a cool throwback for you tonight. And... that's pretty much it. So you listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks. This is from Phil and Jay. And we'll be right back.
For 8 years and over 450 episodes, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast has brought the wrestling fans the greatest guests, the most insightful discussion, and plenty of laughs along the way in discussing the world of professional wrestling. We are available live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East on RantDMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And of course, we are available also on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, go to ShiningWizards.com. Be ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love The Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, RantEMRadio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at IncomclusivePod or Facebook.com/IncomclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is Tama Tonga,
Tonga Loa,
and Hikuleo,
the Bullet Club, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Raya and the Pain in the Ass Choppy on the Rant EM Radio. And that's just too sweet!
Buddy, the two-time World Tag Team Champions, Beautiful Bobby and Sweet Stan.
Yep.
The Midnight Express.
Where do you rank them in tag teams? I don't know if you guys are on the show on tag teams, but where would you rank them?
I'd probably two.
Whoa.
Road Warriors one, Midnight Express two. This is just my favorite. I'm not ranking skill.
Yeah, just favorite, yeah.
Yeah, it would be them and the Express, then probably Blanchard and Anderson, then Demolition, mm-hmm. then the Bulldogs, then the Hart Foundation. You know, that way.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time. And Choppy and I keep saying we're going to rank them. But I want to do it right.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to get a list. I want to get, like, matches. I want to, you know.
Yeah.
It may not be one episode. We may chronicle it and, like, you know.
Break it down.
Yeah, Yankees win 4-1.
Hey, now.
I got to tell you, though, you beat Verlander, which is lucky. But if you guys can beat Cole, which is probably the best pitcher in baseball right now, if you beat Cole, you will win the series and go to World Series against Washington. That's a prediction. This is me because I follow the sport pretty intently. So, yeah, Yankees came out blasting tonight. Right before I left, right before you picked me up, they they jacked a couple of home runs. They were up 4-1 when I left.
Yeah,
so 3-1, 4-1, whatever it was. But
and a hell of a cold night to be doing it. It's got to be every bit of 55 out.
Yeah, and you know what? It's that short fence. It's one of the smallest parks in baseball.
Yeah.
So if you're a left-handed hitter, you know, more importantly, if you're a power hitter, man, and you're left-handed, or if you're an opposite field hitter, if you can get a home run in those small parks, you're good, man. You're good to go. I don't like that park at all. I like the original Yankee Stadium more. Mm-hmm. Just a preference for me, because I used to, A, I worked there, and B, yeah, Garrett Cole, baby. Yeah, but I like I worked at Yankee Stadium for 4 years, the original Yankee Stadium, and I used to go there as a kid almost every year, like four times a year. So I, for me, you know, Monument Park, I'm not even a Yankee fan. I hate the fucking Yankees.
Yeah.
I hate the Yankee fans, I should say. I don't hate the Yankees. I love a lot of Yankees. But when I worked there, I made friends with, like, the Torrey family and the team doctors, and I worked EMS. So my ambulance was parked behind Monument Field. I took Scott Brosius to the hospital.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, when I go to the park now, it's like a mausoleum. It's almost like it looks like it's, I mean, it's nice.
Yeah.
Right? But it looks like it's cookie cut.
Yeah. Well, City Field's nicer. Everybody knows that.
I'm not even comparing it to City Field. Because Shea Stadium was a dump. Okay? Yeah. City Field is an upgrade. See, Yankee Stadium was not a dump.
No, yeah.
Yankee Stadium was just, it was just not modern. But Shea was a shit show. I loved Shea. Matter of fact, I'm buying the shirt though in the winter when it goes on sale. I miss Shea. It was my shithole. Yeah, you know, I'll be going since I'm fucking 7 years old. But I'm also been going to Yankee Stadium since I'm 7 years old. So for me, these newer stadiums, you gotta feel it when you walk in. I'm sorry. And I walked in there 2 years ago when Judge first came up, and I watched the game. He dented furniture. He hit a fucking bomb against Toronto, and it's still there's a dent in right field somewhere.
Yeah,
we watched the dent on TV, and you know I was sitting there, and I'm saying my son, I'm like, this is just not, I don't feel this at all, at all. Like I'm not, and I sat just like three times I went there.
Yeah,
I sat there Jeter's last series against Baltimore. I went that Friday because I wanted to pay my respects to the captain. I'm not even a fan. I love Derek Jeter.
Oh yeah, how do you not?
I wanted to pay my respects. And then I went again. And I went like 3-4 times to the new place. I'm not. I went opening weekend when it first opened. I was like, it's not a nice place. They're always sold out of food. Every time I go there, I want to get a certain, like, I'm on the list. I'm like, oh, good, I can get this today. They had some kind of, like, bacon on a stick gimmick. And I was like, I was all excited, dude.
Yeah.
I get to the park. I'm like, oh, can I get bacon on a stick? She's like, no. Like, it's the fucking second inning. You sold out of bacon in the second inning? Christ.
How many people are eating bacon around
here? Fuck, it's the second inning. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. What, did you not have breakfast? Was it brunch, I guess? Everybody, 20,000 people had fucking brunch today in the Bronx?
Somebody said something about bacon on a stick.
Somebody said something about bacon. I got bacon on my gimmick table. A lot of feedback on the Tommy Rich episode. I'm thinking about doing a Jeopardy skit. With Dusty Rhodes, Tommy Rich, and somebody else.
Yeah.
But I want to record it right, though. I want to get all the sounds and shit.
I want to do
like Wrestling Jeopardy. But I'm going to need help because I can't do the host, and then I can't do all the voices.
Yeah, well, I can do the host.
Yeah, we'll do a script, and we'll write it up. Because I think it'll be fucking funny doing a Jeopardy with Tommy Rich and Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
And we got to get another wrestler and do it. So, but anyway. But, yeah, man. So, I don't know. But, yeah, like I said, getting back real quick, if the Yankees can win, if they can beat Cole, they'll win game seven.
Yeah.
For
well,
sure.
Like I said, I mean, they're going to have, you know, they're literally getting on a plane tonight going out to, you know, Houston. Yeah, well, so,
listen, man.
This is a huge, you know, this is a huge game for them tomorrow.
Yeah, and Houston's a big park, too. So, it's polar opposite.
Yeah.
Houston's matter of fact, I have that park in Stratomatic this year. That's my stadium this year.
Uh-huh.
We get to pick our stadiums every year. So, I based my stadium on my pitching
because
I can't hit for shit. So I said, I would get a pitcher's park, and I picked Minute Maid Park.
Yeah.
And it's huge. So, you know, the Yankees, and it's domed. So the Yankees are going to have to, you know.
Really earn it.
Yeah, and they don't have any pitching. Like, their pitching sucks.
Yeah.
After Tanaka, I'm sorry. Because Paxton looked like shit tonight. So, but the Strohs have polar opposite. They have great pitching. And they got the Verlander early. If you can get to the pitches early, you win. That's what happened tonight. They scored like four runs off in the first inning. So, all right, well, it is what it is. And Yankee fans are happy. You know, it's the playoffs. It's the most glorious time of the year for me. It's baseball, and it's baseball regardless. So,
yeah, I
don't shit about anything else. You know, thank God I have that in my life, and I have the podcast. All right, let's do. Are you ready, dude?
I'm ready.
Let's do it up. And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio. So, as you know, we're doing Halloween Havoc next week, 89, the 30th anniversary.
Cannot wait.
Yes.
I cannot wait to watch this.
This is one of my favorite cards. It's one of my favorite years in pro wrestling. I think I've said that to you guys a million times. And you and I think our first conversation we had
was
a drunken conversation was about 1989. So, I said to the boys a couple of weeks ago, actually a month or two ago, I said, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to chronicalize the next couple of weeks on NWA. Because I want to go right into the fucking Clash Champions. We did eight. Clash of Champions, eight. We're going to do this. We're going to do the pay-per-view next week. And then in November, we're going to do the nine.
Yeah.
Clash Champions 9, which was the I Quit match with Funk and Flair.
New York Knockout.
Yeah. Correct. Correctamundo, as they say on Happy Days. So, with that being said, we're going to do the October 28th. The World Championship Wrestling NWA Saturday night episode. It was the same night as the Halloween Havoc pay-per-view, which was cool because it was pre-recorded. You had Gordon Solie and Jim Cornette hosting it, but then you had live feed from Jim Ross from Philly, from the Civic Center, which I thought was pretty cool. Anytime you get to see the Dean of Professional Wrestling do commentary.
Yeah.
With Jim Cornette, by the way.
Yeah, and it was like a really good, like even Cornette there is like, you could see he's not like a super heel, but he, and we'll talk about it later on when he's involved in the angle, what have
correct,
you. But especially like I said, I remember watching like Gordon Solie back in I think it was like WCW
Georgia,
like WCW Worldwide or something and something like that, and just that gravelly voice. But yeah, it was awesome to watch. I can't even deny it.
Shaylin, of course, we're doing Survivor Series 89 and 99. So we'll be doing Survivor Series 89 and we're finishing 99. So we'll be 99 all year this year.
Yeah.
So we're doing Survivor Series and we're going to be doing WCW NWA. And I think we're doing Fantasy Warfare. I have to work that out with the boys. We talked about doing a Fantasy Warfare.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the one that we want to do. I think we're probably going to start writing it up because it's, you know, it's written. It's not, you know, that's probably the only thing about Terminal Throwbacks that is scripted. Besides,
we have to change the annals of time in order to do that.
That's right. That's what we do here, man.
Yep.
That's what we do. We keep it real. Keeping it real. All right. So like we said, Gordon Solie opens up with Jimmy Cornette. JR's in Philly at the Civic Center for Halloween Havoc. Which we'll be doing next Friday. They mentioned Sir Oliver Humperdinck as the Big Kahuna.
Yeah.
Taking over the contracts of the Samoan SWAT team and introducing a new member tonight.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that in a few minutes. Because he has history in pro wrestling. He's one of the... Well, of course he does. He's a fucking Samoan. There's 9,000 of them. All right? Ring the bell. All right. Your opening contest, Jay? The Italian Stallion? Let's do it right. Let's do it right, Jay. Versus
Sting.
Versus the Stinger.
I was upset to hear not hear Man Called Sting, which Choppy says is not WCW's best theme, which I completely disagree.
No, you see, this is no wait, Sting. Hold on a minute, because you don't like. Wait a minute, You don't like Sting's original song.
The original? I like Man Called Sting.
No, this is the one you like. This is the one that you should be... Hold on, let me wait till the ad plays, but... The fucking crazy fucking fright fest.
Fright fest.
Who goes? I never went to one of those.
Oh, I could have went there.
You could have went to fright fest tonight.
Oh no, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Oh,
shit. Well, shit.
No, you're away tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's the first one, right? When he first came in, this is 87, right? All right, and then I think this is the other one? Hold on. This is the one.
This is the one I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, this is my favorite. This is the second one.
Yeah, this one.
This is what he comes out to now. Yeah, at that time.
89.
Love that one.
It's still no Man Colts thing, though.
That's your favorite one?
Yeah. Either that or Cactus Jack, Mr. Bang Bang.
Mr. Bang.
That's fucking awesome. Wow.
Yeah, you like this one, dude?
Yeah, I love this.
This one? Yeah!
Yeah, that is it.
I think you just like it for the cowbell.
Listen, anytime you get a cowbell in there, I'm in.
You got a cowbell in your own kit?
I do, yeah.
That's awesome.
I had one song that has it, but I don't bring it all the time, so, but I have it.
They must hate you in rehearsal.
But yeah, it was, and then like I said, but then that's when I realized, I was like, wait a minute, they're playing other songs. Like we were talking about it before. Like, holy shit, they're playing real songs.
This is recorded off the TV. That's why. Yeah. This is not. Yeah. They didn't have a lot of made up songs back then. All right, so
quick match.
Yeah, quick match is what it's supposed to be. Italian Stallion, not a bad wrestler.
No.
He's been around for... This is the thing with WCW and NWA. They had some jobber guys that were almost like cult favorites.
Yeah.
Italian Stallion, the Mulkey Brothers, they had...
George South,
yeah. So the Stallion gives Sting a little bit of a match. Yeah. Which, again, you don't really appreciate this stuff until you're older. You just want to see your guy come out, beat up the jobber, and fucking call it a day. No one wants to see... You're not there to see the Italian Stallion. Like, oh, great, there's guy. I remember when I was a kid, watching, like, Superstars. Yeah. Oh, great, it's Mario Mancini again.
His Barry Ho.
His Barry Ho. His S.D. Jones again. Yeah, his Mario Mancini. His Jose Luis Rivera. You're like, oh, Jesus, help me. You know? But, I remember when they had a match. Mick Foley was a jobber on Superstars.
Yeah.
And Dynamite Kid broke his jaw.
Clotheslined the fucking teeth right down his throat. Good Lord.
But you don't know what's Mick Foley like. I remember seeing the match, though.
He was, what was his name? Jack Foley. He was Jack Foley.
Yeah. All right. So Stallion makes Sting look good for... Sting makes Stallion look good for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Sting wins with the Scorpion Deathlock. Like Jay said, it's a quick match. And then... We go to footage, which I always love.
Yeah.
So Lex Luger is the current United States Heavyweight Champion. He's heel again. He has more fucking heel turns than the Big Show. He's the U.S. Champion, and he's on fire, but he's got a lot of people on his tail right now.
Yeah.
And one of those people is the new guy, Flying Brian Pillman, which I'm glad that Jim Ross wasn't calling a match, because you would hear, he won the Courage Award. He's on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Special teams
division. His coach loved him. He's the man.
Yeah.
You didn't hear that tonight, thank God, because it wasn't Jim Ross calling the action.
It was, here's a souple.
Here's a souple. Yep. Run solely here. Let's play the footage.
See, most Saturdays right here on TV.
This is from Worldwide Wrestling on October 14th, 89. So this is a week, World 2 weeks before.
I got a kick out of that BTR. I really did, because Luger has been out here blowing steam for so long.
He didn't want us to show it quite, obviously.
Drop it in unexpected. Wait a minute.
What are you doing out here?
That video clip you want to hear anyways. Enough's enough. Time to teach this punk a lesson.
Wow, Luger.
Jim, let that run.
Oh, my God.
Well, Lex Luger, of course, is a man of massive ego and sometimes massive excuses.
Yeah.
But what we're going to do right now is Luger had some comments following that altercation that I think all of you will find most interesting. Let's hear these words from Lex Luger.
The moment of truth has arrived. It's what I call the real deal, Ryan Pillman. The exhibition season is over.
He always
does.
This
is the regular season. This is what professional wrestling is all about. And Brian Pillman, you need to learn some respect the hard way for the total package, Lex Luger. And it comes down to this. I'm unbeatable. You're going to have to go down in Halloween Havoc.
Well, I think you see Lex Luger always going to come up with a reason, but we have seen the normally calm, normally cool, normally collected total package Lex Luger fly completely off the handle.
All right, so that sets up the match for Halloween Havoc.
I tell you, that looked so real. The fight, they did such a good job.
This was good, and it's actually a good match. We'll talk about it next week. Yeah, man. So then Brian Pillman gets this is what I love about NWA. They would follow that up with the next guy wrestling.
Yeah.
So Pat Rose, who's another now, I don't know if you noticed this, but they talked up Pat Rose like he was the second coming.
Yeah.
You noticed that?
And like we were almost there to see Pat Rose. Like Pat Rose was fighting Luger. And they didn't mention anything about fucking Pillman for the most part.
Right. So Pat Rose fights Brian Pillman. I had to remind Jay that Brian Pillman comes out to Rocket.
Yeah.
By Def Leppard, which I'll probably play on the outro.
But it was funny because like a few of them I heard the Halloween theme where I was just like,
that's the Samoan SWAT team.
Yeah, and I looked up, I'm like, am I fucking hearing this right? And then I guess some of them I just didn't even hear it. I didn't, you know, and I was watching it on my TV, the YouTube YouTube clip.
Yeah, I was watching it on my TV as well.
Yeah.
I love watching it on my TV because I have a huge fucking giant television.
Yeah.
Everything looks good on my TV. I hate to brag, but when you have 70 inches on your wall, that's it.
Fuck yeah.
Everything looks good on your fucking TV.
Yep.
So, of course, I had the YouTube gimmick on the Roku, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch. I'm not watching it on my phone anymore. I was watching it on my phone. I'm like, what am I doing? I got a 70-inch TV in front of me.
So guilty of that.
What am I doing? Because we're so fucking dependent on the phones now, you know? Your life is on that phone. That and your password. My whole life is a password and a phone. It's retarded. I hate it. All right. So, Dr. Death Steve Williams, he comes out the bad to the bone by George Thorogood. And he fights Joe Cruz, another veteran.
Yeah.
Makes quick time of Joe. Now, Dr. Death recently face turned. He was at the Varsity Club.
Yep.
He turned. And he's going to be teaming up with the Midnight Express at the pay-per-view next week, or tonight, whatever you want to call it, to fight the Samoans, the SST, with the new guy.
Yeah.
And you have notes here? You wrote notes?
No.
Okay.
I just got the thing.
Okay. So,
Like I said, I mean, another one, Steve Williams, that just... Beast.
Oh, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
And like you said, it's another one where it's just like, this is what a squash match is supposed to be. Like, you know, like you're getting them over as a huge thing. And like you said, he teams up, you said, with the Midnight Express.
Yes, this is going to be a six-man tag.
With Rotunda against...
No, he fights... It's him and the Midnight Express. They're going to be fighting... I'm sorry. He teams up with... Who's he team up with? Because I know the Midnight Express is fighting the Dynamic Dudes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, no, he teamed up with the Midnight Express at the pay-per-view to fight the Samoans.
Yeah.
All three of them now, which the third one makes his debut tonight.
That's right.
Well, so they opened the segment with that. So he makes quick work of Joe Cruz, who also wears boots and cowboy boots in the ring, just like Pat Rose does. He must be going to the same boot guy. Let's take you now to the promo corner with Ric Flair, Sting, and Ole Anderson. Get ready for the big Thunderdome cage match at Halloween Havoc.
Sting and Ole Anderson. Gordon, take it away.
Joining me now, the Sting, Ric Flair, the World Heavyweight Champion, and Ole Anderson. It's just a matter now of a very, very short period of time when you move into the Thunderdome.
The Thunderdome, I'm going to try and compose myself and be really quiet right now so everybody can understand what I'm saying. And every time I start to do that, I start to think Halloween Havoc, and I start to think about the Nature Boy and the Great Muda and Gary Funk, and I don't care who else is in the ring, Terry Funk, Gary Hart. And then I start yelling and screaming, and everybody says, Sting, you said you were going to be quiet. Well, now you understand just why I can't be quiet, because we're talking electricity. Woo!
Brother, look at that body. You tell me the thing isn't ready hurt, and I'll kiss you, you know what. Tonight, a couple hours from now, we're going to walk that aisle. Looking better than we've ever looked before. Thunderdome, blood, sweat, tears, you got them all. And you know what we got? 275 pounds of designated Terminator by the name of Ole Anderson.
I've been excited all week long, and I finally lost my voice.
You actually sound like the Black Scorpion.
It definitely sounds nothing like Sting.
Mr. Muda and Terry Funk. Terry, you're a great wrestler. You might as well wave goodbye because it's going to be the last match. The people have been waiting for one chance, and they're going to get it. In Philadelphia, we're all going to get a chance to see the end of Terry Funk, Mr. Muda, and Gary Hart. Get ready, Bruno the referee. It's only a little while there, Gary. Look at your watch.
No!
All right, and now let's go back to the ring.
Awesome, right?
Yeah. And especially, like you said, you can hear the crowd. Like it was another one that is just great to see. So, this match was...
Now, this match, it's funny because it's actually a segue that you probably didn't know unless you looked them up. So we saw Ole Anderson cut the promo with the Stinger and the Nature Boy for their big match in the Thunderdome against Muda and Terry Funk. With Bruno Sammartino as the referee.
Yeah, yeah.
Rest in peace, by the way. A lot of rest in pieces in this match, yeah. In that match. Gary Hart. Anyway, all right, I digress. Agent Steel. And you laugh, but I'm going to tell you who Agent Steel is. Agent Steel was his name was Brad Anderson. Anderson, okay. Right. Name sounds familiar. Yeah. Anderson's a, okay.
Well, hey, well, isn't Anderson the real name of the Armstrongs?
Right. Well, I don't know about that, but
oh.
Brad Anderson is the son of Gene Anderson, who was tag team with Ole Anderson, the original Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Ah.
So there's a fun fact for you.
Did not know that.
Teamed up with Rick Nelson, not the Rick Nelson from the Nelsons, not Ricky Nelson.
Oh,
okay. Nelson. And they fought the Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott. They come out to Welcome to the Jungle, by the way.
Yeah. See, like I said, another thing, I guess I just didn't even catch it. When I heard it, when you said it, I was like, oh, dang, you know what? I didn't even really like look for it. Now I'm like, now I might have to go back and try to catch it. But man, Rick looked jacked. He looked more jacked than Scotty in this match.
He did.
He looked unbelievable. And like I said, I mean, because even here, I think we talked about it last week that, you know, Scotty's new to the business. I think he's only in for a few months, maybe a year at this point. And, but, man, looked good as hell. Tag team wrestling. The way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah, and they were just getting hot. Now, if you follow the story, which we have, of course.
Yeah, with the wit woman. And...
So, well, Robin Green.
Oh, Robin Green, yeah.
Was in the audience for a couple of months, and she was in, you know, innocent girl next door type of thing, and she courted Rick Steiner and started getting a little flashy. Rick gave her the credit card, and she went shopping, and she started buying clothes and wearing more fucking sexier gear and gowns and stuff like that, and... Started doing her make. She wore glasses and pigtails. Now she's doing her hair, does her eyes.
Her hair's all 80s.
At the time, the real wife of Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah.
Okay. And she turns on Rick Steiner.
Surprisingly.
And says that she introduces a new tag team coming on the scene called Doom. Two very big, burly, masked African-American men. Let's take you now to a promo from Woman.
The first steps have been taken in using the Steiners to get what I want. I am Woman, and I'm going to rule the wrestling world. I have Doom, and I have Kevin Sullivan as my alliance. He is the head of Doom. He's mean, and he's feisty. I like that in a man. Poor little Ricky.
his little feelings got hurt. And everybody feels so sad for him.
And Scott, he has a beautiful black and blue eye. Beautiful shade of blue. I just love it. Thank you, Doom. You did a great job. I have lots more money where that came from. If you'd like to try again. Do a good job this time, Doom, and you'll get lots of money.
Woman had those comments about the Steiners and Doom situation, and Gordon?
Fine, we're going to go to the college football scoreboard.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
Fun, huh?
I tell you. And like I said, I didn't know before this. I didn't know that's how Doom got introduced.
CJ?
Always learning.
Stick with us, Jay. We're going to teach you.
Always learning.
Big copper pump. I think that's the name of the episode tonight. All right. So we go to JR, who's in Philly. Actually, let's do that right now. Let's take you to JR, who's live in Philadelphia, and he's going to tell you about the tonight's pay-per-view.
Entertainment event of the year. It's all coming your way live from here in Philadelphia. The crowd is filing into the building behind us, and the Thunderdome cage, what a tremendous apparatus it is. I've never seen anything like it. It's a very bizarre setting for the culmination of the Ric Flair Sting feud versus Terry Funk and the Great Muta. And, of course, Gary Hart and Ole Anderson will determine the outcome of that match by throwing in the towel. Some great matches. The World Tag Team Championship's going to be on the line tonight, plus Flying Brian's challenge to Lex Luger in the U.S. Championship. I've talked to many of the athletes in the last few moments. They are very excited. They're pumped up. It's going to be a night you won't soon forget. We'll talk to you again later in the hour here on World Championship Wrestling, but call your cable company now. And now, before we go to the ring, let's hear these comments from Dr. Death, Steve Williams.
It was the night before Halloween Havoc. There wasn't a ghost, a witch, or a goblin, or even the SWAT team in sight. But of course, when the dust settled, it was Dr. Death and the Midnight Express with Jimmy Cornette. We're going to throw you out, beat you up, and spit you out. And of course, Peanut Head, you and the Skyscrapers. I'll take one, I'll take two of you on. I'm the lumberjack now, and I'm going to chop your trees down.
You can't call Teddy Long Peanut Head.
Yeah, you can. I don't know about Doc Death cut an amazing promo. It was just cool to watch him cut a promo. Was pretty interesting.
I'm about to say, it definitely wasn't amazing, but...
No. So your next match is another scrappy veteran, Lee Scott. taking on Peanut Head's new acquisition of Norman the Lunatic.
Yeah.
Jay, what do you think about Norman the Lunatic?
I tell you, I mean, probably couldn't be done today, this gimmick. But
especially after I saw Joker last night.
Oh, you know, God. Oh. We have to talk about that on the way home.
Oh, man.
But
did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you on the way home.
But I liked it. I thought it, you know, I mean, for the time or whatever. I mean, he's not a bad worker. I mean, he was able to get stuff done, especially, I mean, now he's a heel, but later on... 1991, he became
throws teddy bears to the kids.
Yeah, like he was a good character.
Yeah, he cut his teeth in Stampede for he worked for Stu Hart. He was a Maka Singh.
Yes, yeah. Another one where I think I googled or went on Wikipedia for Norman the Lunatic. I was like, I knew he was Bastion Booger later on, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he makes quick work of what the fuck is that? Oh, it's somebody in the car. He makes quick work of this guy.
Surprisingly.
Lee Scott and his fucking, and his blue aqua tights. Not aqua, they're like a, but in the 80s, everything was either sequence or like
yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Well, he actually went different one with the solid colors.
With the solid colors, yeah. The 80s were a fun time, man. Music and wrestling and sports, it was crazy.
I tell you, I either would have, you know, died in the 80s or I would have been...
yeah, I would have had a cocaine habit if I was in my 20s.
I would have been on the Rainbow Bar and Grill next to Lenny.
I'd be probably on coke. I'd probably have a heart attack and die by the 50. But I would have fun doing it, though.
Yeah.
All right, your next match. You mentioned George South before.
Yeah.
Another scrappy veteran jobber guy.
Yeah.
Teaming up with Mark Kyle against Teddy Long's Skyscrapers.
Yeah.
Sid Vicious and Dan Spivey.
The Mullet Express, as I call it.
The Mullet Express?
Mullet Express.
Dan Spivey, Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah.
We talked about Sid Vicious last week. Yeah, good stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it was. I think they were only a team for a few months at this point, if even.
Well, there was two versions of the Skyscraper. They were off a little longer than that.
Yeah, but I mean, and even after this, though, I know they were around. But it was Mean Mark after this?
Mean Mark Callis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, let's see, after that, we go to JR's in Philly. Again, just letting you guys know you can order the pay-per-view. Let's go to JR right now.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Ross reporting back live here in Philadelphia in the Civic Center. And you still have time, ladies and gentlemen, to call your local cable company and see the greatest family sports entertainment event of the year right here on pay-per-view television. Of course, we'll be having another exciting hour, World Championship Wrestling, with Gordon Soley and Jim Cornette. We want to encourage you that as the building fills up here in Philadelphia, the athletes are ready. They're all here, present, and accounted for. They're healthy, and they are ready to go. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to virtually every athlete on the card, and you can really tell their game faces are on for this one. This is the Wrestler Super Bowl, and you can enjoy it by calling your local cable company, of which you still have time to do. We hope you fans around the country will join us for this event. I know many of you have already purchased the pay-per-view broadcast, but for those of you that have not, you still have time by calling your local cable company now. And remember, we still got another great hour of World Championship Wrestling action. We're going to kick off here at 7 o'clock, 7 or 8 minutes away. Call your local cable company, and we'll see you again at 7 o'clock.
All right. So now that it's coming down, we're halfway through the show right now. Mm-hmm. You could the pay per view is about to start because they're a 2 hour show. Now, this might be the promo of the night.
Well, how can it look who's doing it?
Right. So you know, again, when you're not looking for, it's not you're looking for quality. I guess you want to say you because there's certain guys who cut promos. Like, all right, it's just cool to see them cut promos.
Yeah.
Like tonight, the Midnight Express don't really cut promos.
No,
Jim Cornette does, but tonight you see them cut promos and it's fun.
Yeah.
Terry Funk is always fun.
Yeah. There's no promo that's not fun with Terry Funk.
Correct, Jay.
I can listen to Terry Funk cut a promo right now. Right, and I would be
at
like
70 years old, yeah, you would still find
you
yeah.
Egg fucking dog.
Dusty Rhodes, you an egg sucking dog.
Yeah, you big egg call Ric Flair, big nose.
You big nose bastard.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear from Terry Funk, middle aged and crazy. All right, he's about to participate in the Thunderdome Tag Team Match main event with the Great Muta against Ric Flair and the Stinger.
It's the Wrestler Super Bowl, and you can enjoy it by calling your local cable company, of which you still have time to do. We hope you fans...
Boogie!
Oh, sorry, hold on.
They tell their game face in at 7 o'clock.
Welcome back to World Championship.
You always notice how the
right
Jim
now.
Ross has to do the
Let's
fake
listen
smile.
To these previously
back
recorded
ladies.
Comments from Terry Funk.
Right now, you simple-minded people, get on a telephone and call your cable company. Watch Halloween Havoc. Watch the Thunderdome. Some people call it a colossal vulgarity. Some people say it's barbaric. Some people say it's hideous. Well, I say it's Ric Flair's last professional wrestling match. And what we are going to have a new kind of chicken come out of Philadelphia. It's going to be called Philadelphia Fried Chicken as Ric Flair does a 10,000-watt boogie.
That might be the name of the episode.
10,000-watt
boogie.
Yeah. I'm calling it.
Yeah. That was fun, dude.
Yeah.
The 10,000-watt boogie. That was fun. All right. So your next match is Thad Clark.
Against
the Z-Man.
The Z-Man.
Ugh. Awful.
Oh, Tom Zink.
He goes, oh, Tom Zink. Exactly.
Tom Zink.
Exactly.
What is your purpose for being in wrestling? I don't understand. Besides,
I don't know.
Besides banging fucking massive fucking Midwest rats.
I don't know, but
the next match I was happy to see.
Yes, the Big Kahuna brings out his new protege, the Samoan Savage. Now
yeah.
You know him better as the Tonga Kid or
mm-hmm.
Tonga from the Islanders.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was actually I'm sorry I was talking about the next match, but yeah, this one. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I skip a match?
No. I did.
Okay. Okay. So let's we're gonna bring out
the new
the match, and then there's actually a promo.
Yeah,
and then a picture in picture promo. So that's why let's play the big. I love Humpty, one of my favorite managers too. He was short lived, but he was a great, great guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I don't really remember too much from him, but
yeah, no, he was fun.
Yeah.
This event here on World Championship Wrestling is a one fall with a 15-minute time limit. Introducing first from Austin, Texas, Jake Steele.
Yeah, Jake.
And introducing his opponent from the island of Samoa, the Samoan Savage, accompanied to the ring area by the great Kahuna. Sir Oliver Humperdinck.
And now the Samoan Savage makes his way to ringside. Let's hear these comments from the Big Kahuna.
You wonder why the Big Kahuna's a happy man? Well, let me give you a couple reasons. Number one, there's a Samoan Savage, the greatest single wrestler in the world today. And number two is the New Wild Samoans, the greatest tag team in the world today. Through regressive therapy, I've taken them back to where they belong. The primitive animals that they are running through the jungle. You're going to find out, everybody in this area, exactly what I'm talking about as we go on. The Samoans are here. The Coon is here. I'm happy.
And there you go.
Hey, he's happy.
He's happy. All right. Get into the next match then.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Jack Victory. I looked. I seen the name and I go, holy shit!
He was just Paul Heyman's bodyguard a couple months before that.
Yeah, but I just know of Jack Victory from ECW.
Same guy.
Yeah, you know, right. That's how I think of him.
Yeah,
and it was cool to see him back here.
And he's teaming up with Rip Morgan, who was the flag bearer for the Sheepherders.
Yeah,
and then the Sheepherders went to WWF this time. They were the fucking Bushwhackers. So he just kept the gimmick and decided to start a militia. And they fought Chris Power and Richie Sartain.
Yeah.
Yay.
Monster team. But I tell you, that's what was good about this. You know, like you said, the studio wrestling and this type of wrestling is that it's just, it tells, you're excelling the storyline between, you're selling the next show, but yeah, and you show... showcasing the talent as well.
Now, while this is going on, Gordon Solie gets a note, right? He gets a note saying that there was a match signed for a future that Jim Cornette's involved in, but he doesn't want to tell Jim until he go to a break. And Jim's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you didn't tell me this was going on. Jim's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So Gordon Solie now brings out Jim Cornette, wants to tell him that with the paperwork that was signed that he thought Jim Cornette knew. So let's take you down to Gordon Solie and Jim Cornette.
I view you with a great deal of respect, but I must admit that you've now got me perplexed.
Okay, what's going on, Gordon? What is going on?
All right, at the Clash in Troy, New York, on the 15th, the match has been signed, the Dynamic Dudes against the Midnight Express. You sign all their contracts, so what do you mean, what's going on?
Wait a minute, I didn't sign the match. I didn't sign any kind of match like that.
Yeah.
Well, if you didn't, don't you sign all their contracts?
I signed all their contracts, always have, and I did not sign that match. If I didn't...
Hey,
Jimmy, you want to know who signed it? We signed it. You know why? Because you're wasting your time and our time hanging around those two punks, the Dynamic Dudes, all the darn time. That's why.
Wait. I've had enough. You're trying to make me the bad guy out of this, and that ain't going to float. I'm going to tell everybody what's going on if you're not careful. If it was anybody else but Johnny Ace, you wouldn't care if I spent 24 hours a day with him. But it's Johnny, and you can't forget about what happened, and you can't get over what happened. You're trying to make me the bad guy. It's not my fault that she left you, and it ain't my fault that she liked him better than she liked you.
Leave the girl out of it, Cornette.
Well, what are you trying to do to me? What are you doing to us?
Hey, wait a minute. Oh, yeah.
You know, we never came out here to start any rifting, any friendship.
Johnny Ace with a Zubaz hat on.
All I can say is, Jimmy,
this tie-dye shirt that I'm wearing.
You know, you want to walk down the path of Midnight Express, that's fine. We don't want to cause any problems. Johnny and I will go our separate ways. Hey, we don't want any problem with Midnight Express.
I'm not sure that I want to go after what they've been doing to us.
Hey, I think the problem is maybe Johnny Ace is scared he might get his butt beat. Hey, listen, I said it once, you said it a couple times, you face anybody in NWA, and it's not my fault, Stan, that some girl left you.
No, no,
hold on. Wait a minute. Wait a second. Now.
Wait a minute. Come here. This is a bunch of garbage. This is a bunch of garbage from you. This is a bunch of garbage from you guys. This has got to stop. I can't believe it. You went behind my back. 6 years we've been together, Bobby Eaton. And 3 years we've been together, Stan Lane. I've always done my best for you guys. Wait a minute.
I don't want a problem here.
Johnny Ace, a body guy.
You guys got a heck of an opportunity here. You got the match. Make the most of it. You guys, you wanted the match. You got the match. I'm sick of the whole bunch of you. I can't believe.
We'll see all you guys November 15th.
All right, we'll find out. I'll tell you what. Well, we've got a hornet's nest here. Let's go to the ring for our next match, please.
Yeah, how about that? So we even got matches signed for the next event that we're doing after the Halloween Havoc. So the dudes are going to fight the Midnight Express, and Jim Cornette's going to have to pick whose corner he's going to be in.
Yep.
I already know, I've seen this 9,000
I was just going to say, we kind of can tell how it's going to go already.
It's the beauty of it, though, isn't it, Jay?
I love it. I'm telling you, that's what, like you said, where it tells the story, and it's supposed to be like Jim Cornette, like, oh, wait a minute, he might be turning into a babyface, you know, that type of thing. I mean, granted, they were like, all right, we're gonna have you manage the Dynamic Dudes. You know, Cornette was like, who?
Yeah, exactly. Now, so your next match, Jay, is the Samoan SWAT team.
Yep.
With the Big Kahuna, and they fight two job guys. Do you remember who one of the job guys were?
No.
It's Greg Evans, which we don't know who cares about Greg Evans, and Scott Hall.
Oh, it was Scott Hall. Yes. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, you know him better as
Mustache Scott Hall.
Yeah, Magnum PI looking.
Yeah,
Scott
that's
Hall.
That's right.
Right. So this was Scott Hall.
Massive
man.
I mean,
yes.
Unbelievably massive.
A little while after that, he becomes Diamond Stud.
Yeah.
So right now, he's just a job guy that came over from Minneapolis.
Fresh from AWA.
Right. I popped. I was like, holy shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Same here.
All right. And then your next match is Greg Ligone and journeyman Trent Knight versus the Midnight Express without Jim Cornette. And Jim Cornette takes offense of them, because Jim Cornette would announce them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Stanley would go, Greg would go, and now, the manager, Mr. Jim Cornette.
Yeah, and he was.
But they were so mad at Jim Cornette that they didn't want him to come out with them.
Yep.
And that was the first time they announced themselves. Which was pretty cool to see, actually. So, because again, the Midnight Express do not talk.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool, and they made quick work of Trent Knight and Greg Ligone. I thought this was fucking cool.
Yeah.
So there's a promo from the Moss Blacksmith Shop, and they actually show you the construction of the Thunderdome cage.
Yeah.
But there's some cool fucking music with it. A lot of cool music on this episode of World Championship Wrestling from October 28, 1989. Shall we play the promo?
Hell yeah.
Hidden deep in the mountains, three strange men work around the clock to complete the biggest challenge of their careers. Thunderdome.
For wrestling's toughest, the steel cage is home, but there's never one like the Thunderdome. There's no way in and no way out. It's Halloween Havoc's most frightening bout. 6 tons of steel and electrified. The only way to win is the Terminator outside.
Is that the way to be a blacksmith back in the day? You have to have your shirt off?
Blacksmiths have made
and you
sure
have to listen
they'll
to
stay right there. It's 30 feet high. It's 30 feet wide. There's no place to run and no place to hide. There's no way to win, only to lose. And how you do that depends on the Terminator you use. It's Halloween Havoc and the Thunderdome. If you want to take part, best pick up your phone.
How awesome was that?
Yeah.
Hey, JP's in the room. JP, just want to send our condolences to you and your family on the loss of your mom.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
JP from the Nerdport Jersey guy. He's a, you know. We're all family. We're a podcast family. So when somebody hurts, we all hurt. So, you know, if you guys, I posted a link last night. And if you guys can help out, JP, send his mom off in a good way. Hit him up on the GoFundMe and do what you can. If not, send him your regards anyway. Thank you for coming into the chat room tonight. We love you guys. And, you know, everybody's all family here. It's all love. We're one big dysfunctional family. So when one guy gets hurt, we all hurt. So we're sending our condolences to you again, and we're going to dedicate the episode to your mom. I was going to wait till the end of the episode, but you beat me to it. So we're going to dedicate the episode to JP's mom. And, you know, it's like we always do when we get something sad like that. So it's only right. You know, you do the right thing. So All right. Moving right along.
Yeah.
So it's almost time to go. JT's in the room again. Hello, sir. JT and JP. How about that?
Mm.
Your next match was the...
Road Warriors.
The Road Warriors. The Legion of Doom fighting Rick Combs and Bill Ford. Scrap Iron Bill Ford.
Yeah.
What's up, Carlos? No one cares, but the Road Warriors are making quick work of these guys. Them beating up on jobbers was the best.
Oh, my God.
There was no, like, they just come in and they didn't wait for the bell.
Yep.
At all. And we watch Hawk now do the
Doomsday.
The yeah, good night, Scrap Iron.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing. And that's quick work. Tom Young's like, I just got in the ring, man. I got to leave again, you know?
I didn't even get a sweat.
Yep.
Yeah, they must have been scared shitless. You see your name attached to them, you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. So now we're going to go to...
This could be one of my favorite.
Yeah. We're going to go to a promo. Now, I tell you, for a team that won the World Tag Team Championship, the Freebirds weren't getting any love.
No.
You know,
not at this time.
No, they weren't getting the matches they wanted. They weren't getting TV time. At this point, the Freebirds had broken up briefly because Gordy left and Buddy Roberts left and all that, and they split up. And then we know Michael Hayes came here. He had a little bit of a solo run.
Yeah.
He was a face with Sting and the Junkyard Dog and all those guys. Then he turned and fought Lex Luger, beat him for the U.S. title. And then he reforms the Freebirds with Jimmy Jam Garvin, who was really an unofficial member of the Freebirds in Texas forever, right?
Yeah.
And if you watch the High Spots shoot interview with Jimmy Garvin, which is fascinating, by the way,
mm-hmm.
He talks about that in length. Okay. You know? So I like this version of the Freebirds. A lot of people don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it really did produce. I mean, I don't. They didn't come out to it. Oh, they came out the Bad Street. Yeah.
They didn't come out the Bad Street. They came out the Freebird.
Yeah.
And it's a condensed version.
Yeah.
It either came out to that or Bad Street. It just depends on the day.
Yeah, you know? But like I said, I mean, it's a newly formed Freebird, but it did produce Bad Street, so it's not that bad. It's not bad
at all.
No,
I mean, they used Bad Street for both versions of the Freebirds. It wasn't too bad. And they had Terry Gordy for a little while with them.
Yeah.
And then he left, and him and Doc went to Japan at that point.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite top five, maybe top 10 tag teams of all time.
Yeah, Doc and Gore.
Yeah, the Miracle Violence Connection. And that's exactly what they were.
Yeah.
The Miracle Violence Connection in Japan. But, yeah, it didn't get any love. So some of this is actually a shoot.
Yeah.
So let's take you now to Michael P.S. Hayes, who was a way better talker than he was a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
But he could still go. As we watch Hawk again kill Scrap Iron Bill Ford.
Looks like a light, like Luke Harper.
Luke Harper light.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Finally, finally, finally! The almighty Road Warriors! The fabulous Freebirds for the World Tag Team titles! The Super Bowl of Wrestling! Doesn't it make you just a little bit curious why they've waited this long? Doesn't it make you wonder just a little bit if they're worried that maybe they can't answer the call? Or is it the fact that they know that we know something about them that nobody else in professional wrestling does, and we've done something to them before in the past that nobody else ever has or maybe never will again? Well, gentlemen, for what known reason, I don't know, but in this city, we're going to get it on for the World Tag Team titles, and we're going to exploit that. And on top of that, we're going to lead still World Tag Team champs.
Ladies and gentlemen, your next event is a one fall with a 15-minute time limit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, he was, like you said, he's definitely a way better talker than he is a worker. But I do like when they come out with the dance. The pointing, it's so pointless, but oh, it's so awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, hold on 1 second.
Just... Yeah, and like I said, it's... At this rate, they definitely didn't need a third person, you know. I mean, they did come out, you know, who do they have? The... Brad Armstrong and the Mask. Was it Bad Street?
They had that was Bad Street. That yeah, was that Street was bad. That was a little while after, right after this.
Yeah,
that was Brad Armstrong. No, no, was it Brad Armstrong?
I think it was Brad Armstrong.
Fantasia, he called them a Bad Street. Whatever.
It was Brad Armstrong underneath the mask.
No, Carlos, you don't have promos like that anymore. That's why we played it.
Yeah,
yeah. So, and then of course the Freebirds fight Tommy Angel, which I think that's the same Tommy Angel from ECW. I'm not sure. I have to look that up.
Oh, yeah, that,
and Johnny Kennedy, and then of course they end the match.
This is what made me, it almost soured it for me once I seen this.
Yeah, it's weird because they normally don't end on a low note.
Yeah.
So we know Ranger Ross, real life veteran, whatever, he's an Army Ranger, the whole nine yards, and they push him. He's from Georgia, he's a big deal, whatever. And he's like a homegrown guy, one of the first power plant guys or whatever. But he fights the Cuban Assassin, which is another yeah, huge jobber guy from back in the day. He did he was a forever a mid-card guy too.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they end the match with Ranger Ross versus Rusty Riddle, who looked like the cousin of Dan Spivey.
Yeah.
He had the same mullet, the same look, almost a little short, a little dumpier.
Yeah.
But look, he could have been like a relative of Danny Spivey. And that's how they ended it.
I was like, I know that they were high on him, and like, but you end this show on Ranger Ross? Like, you should have ended it with the Freebirds.
That could have been, yeah. You know, you could have just swapped that. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, what you had to do.
Well, of course. Now, you have to understand, too, this is pre-recorded. So they probably, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to agree with you that they probably just was hyping him up and blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever the case would be. So.
But, I mean, like I said, I had to stop myself from watching Halloween Havoc. Because I was like, oh, maybe I could watch it really quick.
You can watch anything you want, man.
Yeah, I was like, maybe I can watch it really quick. And I was like, nah, I'll hold on.
Yeah, so he's going to have a flag match with the Cuban Assassin.
Yeah.
So they were hyping that up. So, and now we're ready, man. We are ready next week for Halloween Havoc 1989.
Yeah.
I'm fucking stoked.
I can't wait.
We have Halloween Havoc on Friday night. And then we're going to do another podcast from the I Play America on Saturday.
Yep.
For the Wrestling Con. The 80s Wrestling Con at the I Play America in Freehold. We'll be there from 10 to 3, like I said before. We're going to have some gimmicks on the table. We're going to do some trivia,
mm-hmm,
maybe some giveaways. Hopefully we'll have the wireless mic set up so we can talk to some of the classic wrestlers that will be there. Paul Orndorff, Teddy DiBiase and Virgil, Sergeant Slaughter, the Killer Bees. I believe Tito Santana's going to be. Let me just pull up the list.
So. Yeah, I should write like a bunch of different things for we can have wrestlers say about Choppy.
I just want everybody to say that Choppy's a pain in the ass. That's really all I really want. I really don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know. I don't know. We could actually.
Yeah.
We can. What I would love to do is have DiBiase or Sarge put him in a fucking Cobra Clutch.
Yeah.
It was the same move. All right. So Demolition, Paul Orndorff, Brutus Beefcake, Bob Backlund, Sergeant Slaughter. Sponsored by Hell's Kitchen Hot Sauce, which we'll probably grab some of that.
I'm actually definitely be grabbing some of that.
Let's see.
Oh, didn't we see Francine was going to be there?
There's going to be a barbershop thing. 80s trivia contest they're going to have.
Ooh.
They're going to be an LJN Collector's Corner. Okay, cool. I'm going to be fucking broke next week.
Yep.
Sergeant Slaughter's push-up challenge is going to be
wrestling karaoke.
It's going to be karaoke. You could sing Girls in Cars, Jay.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. Vendor guests. Let me see here.
Tito Santana,
Tatanka, Enzo Amore.
One of these is not like the other.
Right. The Queen of Extreme, Francine.
Francine I would be willing to meet.
Hollywood from Hollywood and Vine from Glow.
Yeah.
And the Royal Hawaiian is going to be there. I don't know who she is. I thought that was Leilani Kai. I thought that was my bad.
I thought that was what was her name? Kiana Tom from Flex Appeal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
What up, Vince? Vince from Inconclusive is in the room. What up, Vince? You can listen to Vince and the boys on Sundays on the Shining Wizards Network.
Yeah, I'm excited for next week.
Yeah, you should be, man. It's your birthday. Yeah. We got the throwback. We got a whole bunch of shit. It's going to be Virgil showing up the $1 million belt held by Twisty Ties. That's right. Shaylin remembers that story I told her. Okay. So we really hope you guys can join us.
Yeah.
In person, say hello and hang out with us for a few minutes. We'll have an extra mic for you and say hello. If you can't be there with us, please join us on Rant EM Radio Live at 10 a.m. And we'll be, you know, we're going to be hopefully having a good time. We're going to have a good time. Robin and Lena coming.
Yeah.
The Mandingos will be there. So we have Takeover Club in the building. I'm hoping my cousins can come through. So we'll be all right. It's going to be a good time. We're going to celebrate Jay's birthday and and do some gimmicks. I love gimmicks.
Always a fan of the gimmicks.
I love gimmicks. I love me some gimmicks, man. Ready to get out of here?
Ready to get out of here.
Let's play some music and get out of here.
Let's not get silenced again.
No. We're going to get silenced anyway, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. I hate these fucking ads.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Anyway. Like I said, next week I play America. 80swrestlingcon.com. Check us out. Get all our back episodes on turnbucklethrowbacks.com. You can email us, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. We have the Facebook at T-Buckle, and then we have the Twitter at T-Buckle-T-Backs. We have Instagram. There's a bunch of shit going on. Where the hell is Don Morocco? I played him in the beginning of the episode.
I'm upset he's not even going to be there.
I know, man. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, RantEMRadio.com, Dark Satellite Media, support all of our friends and family, ProWrestlingTees.com, 20% off your order from today until the 21st, Pro Wrestling Tees anniversary. We have 5 different designs. Go get one. It'll help the show. A little bit, anyway.
Yep.
All right? Any shows for you coming up?
Yeah, we got one at Mother Pubs, November 8th, Friday night, November 8th. I think it's the doors open around 8.
So you're taking the night off for the show?
Oh, yeah, I got to take the night off for the show for that night.
There you go.
Playing that night.
There you go. Jay's taking off.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah. Mother Pugs, best dive bar on the island.
I forgot that was, I just said Friday night, Mike. And I just said it like a matter of fact, like, yeah.
Yeah, matter of fact, yeah. Yeah, Shane. All right, so we missed Choppy. Not really, really missed Choppy much, did we?
I missed Choppy. All
right, somebody has stuff, all right?
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, guys. We love you. So, listen, if you're in the Philadelphia area tomorrow, I'm going to be there for Chikara Pro. I found out, like, yesterday. So I'll be there at 3 o'clock show. I won't be there all day because Philly hates me. But I don't. Yeah, you know, I hate this. Yeah, I hate
you hate Philly as well.
No, I love the city. I hate their fucking sports teams.
Yeah.
Yes, my favorite ice hockey champ as well. Carlos, you should have listened to the first 10 minutes of the show. I said all these things that you just said.
Yep.
Actually, so listen on the download. I played the cage match and the promos and everything from today's the anniversary. All right. Jay, you done?
I'm good. Yeah.
I'm good. So on behalf of Jay, I'm the Impact Player Philly Ray, bidding you adieu, reminding you all to keep yourself each other, avoid the clap, don't get arrested, say the N word, don't say all the fancy words. Be nice to people. Be a good fucking person. We'll see you next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. Take care. Comb your hair. Keep a tight ass. And say goodnight, Gracie. Goodnight, Gracie.
Oh, awesome.